Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us today. It's great to have you with us, Red Ice TV. It's great to have you here, redicemembers.com. We are live streaming today, as we always do these days, to dlive.tv/redicetv. And of course, to our own website, redice.tv/live. Or maybe you're tuning in on Twitter or where else is it? VK as well, of course. VK.com/redicetv. You know, we have like, you know, it's like 300 strong over there, you know. So not watching live, more watching live, but following, you know, the channel. So it's definitely comparable to you, to Facebook's, like, you know, close to 100,000, you know. So, but, you know, it's great to have you all here, guys. Thank you for joining us. Hope you're doing well. We've had I'm a little tired today, I have to admit, actually. I had very bad sleep, but it's great to be with you. And we have tons of stories lined up. So I think it's going to be a great show. Of course, Lana's here as well. How are you today?
Not too bad. Yeah, dragging too, but there's so many good juicy stories. It's crazy. I can't believe it.
We have a lot of good stuff too.
Pages and pages. Like, okay, this is too much. It's going to be like 3 hours. So.
Yeah, that's right. That's right, guys. So yeah, as we said, a lot of things to dive into here. I don't know if there's any housekeeping, of course, for the record. Do subscribe to our BitChute channel. It's a great option, of course, since we were booted off of YouTube.
So 3 months ago now.
Over there. Right? It's actually at the anniversary today. Now I still have to do my
smashing of the plaque.
I'm going to destroy the plaque that we got, because obviously it's clear we're not going to get the channel back. I didn't even think that after the first day, frankly, but you know, but still, so that I actually intended to do today. I was just too busy. I didn't have time before, you know, we're going through all the stories and prepping for the show today. So I have to do that. Well, maybe over the weekend or something, but, I just have a couple of choice words for Susan. You know what I mean?
And I think the axe is going to be coming down throughout the year too. I saw SPLC, one of their people over there, was testifying before Congress and basically saying, oh my God, all the white nationalist movement is a domestic terrorist threat. And now that's anyone that supports Trump. Even if you talk about illegal immigration, even just like normie tier politics stuff, they're calling white nationalism. And they were pleading with the government to, like, basically help. We need censorship. We need to get these people off YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter immediately.
Everywhere. So, absolutely. You know, yeah.
They're coming for it.
I mean, this is what they want. And they also want to take normal, sensible, rational positions and making them extreme, associating them with their extremism. And that way, you know, that's how the left has advanced over the years. The march through the institutions, takeover by the media, indoctrination of the young is just to make them, they just have the appearance that, like, normal thing or all of a sudden, oh, this is a controversial subject now. And like,
just talking about immigration is extremism now.
Yeah. So we of course can't fold to their rhetoric. We can't be in their little universe. We don't play on the same ball field or ballpark, whatever you want to call it. We have to set our own rules. We can't play by their rules. That's just how basic it is. But anyway, BitChute, as I was mentioning, things are going great over there. We have like 27,500 subs
over
there.
Come on, let's get to 30.
Yeah, they'll come soon. And of course, more and more people pour over to BitChute when they start up with live streaming. It's going to be great over there. So that's a great alternative. You also do have a great service called Library, LBRY, library.tv. You can find us at Red Ice TV right there. Check it out. We only have about 350 followers over there, but it's a really good service as well. They are decentralized. They have a blockchain base. You do earn some cryptos, I think, both when you view and when you upload and stuff like that. They have their own little token. It is magnificent quality compared to BitChute. Now, I know the BitChute is upgrading the bitrate stuff. We played a clip the other day here, the last week or whenever it was. Where they had like up to 720p, which is decent. It's getting there, you know what I mean? But yeah, anyway, Library is great option, very good quality. It's also on the BitTorrent protocol, I believe, so it's decentralized in the true sense. I did hear, which is one thing I want to squeeze in quick with about DLive here too. I did hear Justin Sun, the Tron guy, the guy who set up Tron, they ended up buying out BitTorrent Incorporated Inc., and they bought, of course, up DLive as well. And I think they're going to kind of add that into the Tron, like, blockchain and stuff like that. You know, Linos are going to be phased out, and they're going to bring in Tron, I think, as a... Oh, actually, no, I think I'm wrong. It was a BTT, like a BitTorrent token or something like that, I think it was. Not Tron, interestingly. But, again, it was kind of encouraging. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen once pressure comes, you know, properly on them, so to speak. But he was like, you know, this is on the blockchain, and you know, we're not going to have anybody here deleting any stuff.
He's a Chinese American too, right?
I believe so, yeah.
So
I
now mean, the Chi-Coms. The Chi-Coms are funding us.
I know they're based in San Francisco, I think. At least Justin Sun is. Not sure about the other guy. I forget the name of the other guy now that was in that live stream. But, you know, it seems reasonable. Obviously, he did say something which was, you know, not true. He said, we can't even delete any content. And that's just not true because, obviously, they do have to moderate it in case someone uploads, like, some... you know, murder or like something illegal or something like that, obviously, you know, then they have to like control that in some way. So I think they have some function for it. But yeah, anyway, so that's pretty good. Good stuff. We are on track. A lot of good alternatives out there, of course, which is good stuff. All right. Why don't we dive into some of the topics then?
Vince Vaughn. I have to say, I met him actually years ago in LA. I was at some bar in Hollywood and was ordering a beer and he was right there. Real tall guy. Talked to him for a few minutes.
6'5" or something.
He's tall. He was pretty chilled out, pretty mellow. He didn't seem to have the typical Hollywood like, I'm an actor, I'm important. You know, he was pretty mellow. Mm-hmm. Anyway, he's like one of the few Republican actors, right, in pedo-wood Hollywood.
Yeah,
he still did a bunch of degenerate films though.
Oh no, of course. I mean, he's
they have to be a big actor, right?
He's a cuck, right? Yeah. The story's from a few days ago, but I did just want to mention it quickly that Vince Vaughn was lambasted on Twitter, was attacked senselessly for essentially just talking with Trump, right?
And again, oh my God, president of the United States.
It's not a defense of Trump, but it's like just to point out this absurdity that it's like again, it's how the liberal, the global order, they're like pushing, they're making things which were previously completely rational, sensible, controversial somehow. This is controversial now.
Oh God, someone talked to the president. And they don't even know what he was talking about. But yeah, it's not okay unless you like go up to him and like shoot him in the head. Then, you know, because I mean, the left, they talk about that.
Diss him or
they
something.
They do art like portraying that, right?
His sentiments were shared by others on social media, criticized the 49-year-old actor for mingling with the president. Other social media users supported the actor and some were impartial to the situation. Okay, well, oh my God. This is news. It's just incredible, right? But 8.5 million views, and the guy who uploaded it was saying something like, I'm very sorry to have to share this video with you. All of it. Every part of it.
All these snowflakes have to go see their therapist now after this, right? Oh so my God, I liked him in that one movie.
What is this, like, literally, like, 10 seconds or something? All right, man, thanks. Take care. Bye.
And he was probably like, hey, it was a great move you did with the dishwashers. I was really not happy about mine not getting enough water through, you know, having to wash my dishes a couple times.
And the shower? Was it the shower?
the
shower was featured.
Better dishwashers, no wall.
One of the latest speeches by Trump, by the way, which is, of course, it's very important, talking about the water rations and the showers. I mean... if other things were dealt with, yeah, sure, absolutely. But yeah, again, so this is it's just pathetic. But the fact is that this was like multiple media agencies were writing about this. Like, oh my God, Vince Vaughn was shaking hands with Trump. We can't believe it.
Yeah.
Similarly, in cancel culture fashion, Stephen King faced backlash for comments about the Academy Awards on diversity.
And I'm glad, by the way, because he's made a lot of really dumb anti-white comments, and he said he wanted politician Steve King, remember?
Mm-hmm.
The one good politician. He wanted him removed from office because people always confuse the two of them. Stephen King, yeah. Steve King, right? But he's made a lot of really dumb anti-white comments, so I think it's good. Slap him across the face with this kind of stuff, you know?
Stephen King says he cares only about quality, not a diversity when deciding on awards. Now, this is very interesting.
So that
right?
means you can't have quality and diversity.
Well, you can read into that whatever you want, right? But obviously what I think he means is simply that why do this contrived thing that it has to be about diversity when just the best artist should win, right?
Yeah.
And of course, that's a rational, sensible comment.
The best actor should win
But the point is, he's been part of creating this environment where in all other fields where he is not engaged, he's been pushing like diversity and all this stuff, right?
Well, he's getting attacked actually for his films not being diverse enough. And
especially
oh my God, there's
this.
Secret racism in it and stuff. It's just...
yeah, I would never consider diversity in matters of art. So it's like, in my field, we don't have to have it, right? It's like, wait a minute.
Well, remember, he lives in this.
Only quality.
He also lives in Seattle and Maine, which are highly white areas.
Of course, that's how you become mostly anti-white, isn't it? It seems to me that to do otherwise would be wrong. And then, you know, again, hundreds of articles probably written about this. I'm not making it up. Oh my God, how can he say this? And all these other directors, Ava DuVernay came in. When you,
who's that?
I don't know, some other like new person they're pushing in Hollywood, TV critics, English actresses to get involved. Oh my God, I can't believe you said this or whatever. Again, it's just nonsense. We have to go through everything that they said, but it was the usual nonsensical comments, which of course ended up in Stephen King backpedaling from anti-diversity remarks. It wasn't about anti-diversity. It was just like, why not just have quality, right? In any sense, any field, essentially, right? Just have quality, and we'll see what happens, right? We'll see who gets to. But the argument then was like, well, no, you're intentionally locking out people of the industry. I think that's actually what he tweeted. Let me see here.
You're supposed to write these fictional stories that include all these other people, except for white people, all the time.
Yeah, here's what he added: you can't win awards if you're shut out of the game. And it's like, wait a minute, who's shut out of the game? Right, it's this idea that it's like, it's, well, I mean, if there's, it's not white men, it's maybe Jewish men that are keeping tabs on Hollywood who can get in there or not,
yeah,
right? Obviously,
exactly.
But that's not what they mean. They mean like, oh my God, there's like this, you've been held out for, you can't, never mind that there's like, now there's diversity scores, movies are pushed solely because of the fact that they have brought in diversity. Oh, look at how diverse this movie is now.
I think it's great that all these Hollywood white actors and shit libs have to eat it with this kind of stuff now, mm-hmm. because you're not diverse enough.
That's right.
How's it feel? You helped create this garbage.
He did. That's why it's good to see that he's kind of deserving. All these people are deserving
this,
frankly.
Yeah, they deserve it.
And again, they'll, you know, we'll talk about, you know, the communist thing here in a minute with Bernie Sanders and stuff like that. But the thing with these people is, you know, they think it's sensible up to a certain point, let's say with their liberal globalist ideas, anti-white ideas, essentially.
Right. And then when they get attacked, sudden, no, now you're going too far.
Yeah, exactly.
Attacking
now,
me.
Now all of a sudden it's just like, whoa, slow down. Like, this is not what I signed up for. And they don't realize that, like, this is how the revolution is handled, that the revolutionary class, meaning those who have the means, and we saw that historically with communism, like those that had the ability to perform the revolution were among the first ones that were taken out. They were literally like shot in the head and purged.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the new system that was in place realized, okay, well, if these people have pulled it off once, they could do it against us as well. So all we need now is the top level of rulership and like peasants, right? Not this in between bourgeoisie, kind of like, you know, it's the same thing like with the Illuminati and Adam Weishaupt and all that stuff. They managed to get like kind of an upper crust to a certain extent of like, you know, royals and aristocratic
super
class
rich
and stuff
people
like that.
Are always,
you know,
more left. It's always been that way.
Yeah.
It's always been the middle class, upper middle class that has been against those other movements.
So he's been part of creating this monster. Same thing with like J.K. Rowling and all these people, right? And all of a sudden he's biting them in the ass and they don't know what hit them. And again, when like, if they get their will here with the communist firing squads, these guys will stand up like, but I'm on your side.
And we'll be like, told you.
It's too late at that point. Anyway, so speaking of this, let's dive into this story here a little bit.
Bernie Bolshevik, Bernie. Look at that picture.
It's a great picture.
Now, just remember real quick, he has a radical communist past, right? Now he just calls himself a socialist. Just quick little reminder, he honeymooned in the Soviet Union. How romantic, right? He called the communist revolution in Russia a heroic revolution. He actually hung a Soviet flag in his office when he was mayor of Burlington, lives in Vermont, right? One of the whitest, wealthiest states, of course, while supporting mass immigration and whites becoming a minority. Also, he praised Fidel Castro. So just a little bit of that before this.
I want to see, let me see here.
He loves Bolsheviks. I think he also had a picture in his office in D.C. of one of their Bolshevik icon.
I was just looking quickly for where is that video of him in the Soviet?
And he's drinking with the communists,
right? Let me see, where is it? Is this one? Oh, at the airport returning. But yeah, he was sitting and drinking. I know we have that. Here it is.
Yeah,
here it is.
We played that one.
1988. Let me show this real quick, guys.
Hey, comrade.
Burlington Soviet trip.
Not Russia's finest.
1988. Sitting drinking.
These might not even be Russians, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, well, you know, they call them that for convenience. Oh, it's low. Let me turn that up a little bit.
One side of the table, staff.
Of course, they're getting wasted, right?
Yeah. And they're like topless too, right? Or is he completely nude?
Oh, I don't want to see that. Bernie, naked. That guy's never been in shape. Have you seen his old pictures? He looks better now than he did back then.
It's him and the authoritarian man author.
Theodore Adorno.
Yeah. That's right.
On the beach.
All right, let me show you. Anyway, you get the they're sitting there half naked in the Soviet Union, fraternizing.
They're gonna smash fascism in America.
So
right?
You know, the point again is that these are just. I mean, at least he's kind of open about it. He doesn't get much flack, of course, in the mainstream press about this. But of course, you guys, I'm sure you guys all there saw it. But if someone who missed it this week, Project Veritas had another undercover video released by one of the. One's working for the Sanders campaign that was caught on camera talking about putting people in camps and gulags are great and all the rest of it. Like, so we could just let's just play a little bit of this in case you didn't see it yet. We're not gonna play the whole thing, but there's a couple of outtakes just to get an idea of what the hell was going on. So Kyle Jurek, field organizer, Sanders campaign. There's some updates to this too, but check this out here.
They seem emboldened. They have been emboldened by Trump, all that rhetoric.
And shit.
But they are scared senseless of anti-fascists. Like, even the ones that are kind of like, you know, the right-wing people. The only thing that works, the only thing that fascists understand is violence. So the only way that you can confront them is with violence.
So if Trump gets reelected, what?
And cities burn.
Ooh, tough guy. Are you going to be the one to start it?
He's exactly. Really cool, this guy.
We don't have a lot of time left. We have to save, like, human civilization.
They always think they're saving.
I like that, too.
These communists one of their best always arguments. Think they're saving the planet while they're mass murdering millions of people.
That's why the green climate stuff ties so well into the communist agenda, because it's like
they can hide behind that.
The only justification they need is we're saving the world, guys. We can do anything in the name of that.
Saving the planet, so you guys need to die because you're wasting resources.
Laws doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We just need to kill these people and put them in camps. And let's play a little bit more here.
And don't give two about making sure that the world doesn't burn.
Bernie doesn't get the nomination, but it goes to the second round at the DNC convention. Milwaukee will burn. It'll start in Milwaukee.
Those crazy eyes.
And when the police push back on that, other cities will just
be ready to be in Milwaukee for the DNC convention.
Well, what
I gotta say.
Oh, I plan on being there. What about Des Moines?
We're gonna make 1978 look like a f***ing Girl Scout f***ing cookout.
What does that mean?
Remember what happened when McGovern got f***ed in Chicago in 1978? Riots. F***ing people getting beaten by the cops. The cops are gonna be the ones that are getting f***ing beaten in Milwaukee. You're gonna call out the National Guard for that shit.
Jurek is clearly very radical, but also very confused about his...
They go through and talk a little bit about the, you know, he was wrong on the date and all that kind of stuff, but it kind of just
continues
in this
vein here.
Yeah,
where was the part about, you found that.
We'll go forward a little bit more here. It's basically the same stuff all the time.
I just have this feeling, like, with this guy, when you see him, like, he's a tough guy, talks about all this violence, and he's probably never been in a fight his entire life.
We get to the thing about the drug thing and, you know, that stuff here in a little bit. Let me see. But yeah, talking about Bernie, if he loses, everything is going to burn, everyone's going to die and whatever. Let me see. Oh, here's the free speech part. This can be kind of good to see as well.
I think Bernie might die before the election.
That's very possible. He's going pretty strong, though. All right, let's listen to this here.
If Bernie doesn't, if they take Bernie from us, then we have nothing else left to lose. But it all costs, whatever it takes. And that's why, like, when they're like, anti-fascists are violent, it's because we're willing to go above and beyond what the law says is acceptable. Like, free speech, yeah. Like, they try to be like, you know, you're a victim, or you're against free speech. No, we're not against free speech. We're against hate speech.
That's right, and you're the arbiter of what that is. Yeah. And same thing when it comes to, like,
The guy's talking about killing people.
Who the fascists are. We dictate that, you know. And again, even if it was true, it's not up to you to like violently go after people. Like you're delusional.
He thinks it is. They try
to justify
it.
Yep. We got to get to the Clintons and stuff. And goes on. Here is some stuff about the gulags. I guess that's kind of interesting. That was like they were great essentially, right? Let's listen to that a little bit too.
It's all ruined by you guys.
Go walk into that MSNBC studio, drag those fuckers up by their hair, and light them on fire in the streets.
This is what I was talking about. Like MSNBC is, of course, an enabler of pushing America more to the left, more towards their direction. But you see, these guys are not happy with that. They could flip, they could turn to, you know, something else tomorrow that's more popular or whatever. He knows that. He's like, we got to kill him.
Violent communists, it's always been the have-nots, the losers, the rejects, the mentally unhinged. Those are always the ones they use to do the violence. You
right,
know? And
right.
then they always turn on their master. It always happens.
Guys like that. What are we going to do with them?
Gulag.
I think that's cool.
Liberals get the fucking wall first.
What are we going to do with those people that resist the change? Because that's a big deal.
Well, I'll tell you what. In Cuba, what do they do to reactionaries?
They shot them on the beach.
But it was the right thing to do because they went against the government.
You want to fight against the revolution? You're going to die for it.
All right, you get the
idea. Oh, my God.
But there you go.
These neo-communists are just like the most annoying.
Oh, geez. Anyway, so, you know, essentially there was like, no, I was doing some, you know, Google searches about it and stuff like that, too. And it was like, you know,
crickets
wasn't
in the media.
That much. It was like hardly anything. There was a couple of stories among this one. 11 Bernie Sanders campaign staffers locked Twitter accounts after video exposed the staffers' violent rhetoric. Right. So some people were trying to, I guess, run and hide. They didn't want to be found out. Right. There was, of course, a couple of other, you know, semi like mainstream that mentioned it, but imagine that there was a Trump person or someone on the right that's
put him in concentration camps.
And frankly, when do you hear people even on the right talking like that? Right? Is there maybe some selected examples here or some plants or something like that? Right? But they are never this like just blatantly open like violence. We're going to put them in camps, kind of
working
stuff.
Working for someone's campaign.
Right. Imagine, again, someone working for Trump that was talking like this or whatever. I mean, there would have been wall-to-wall media coverage, right? Now they cover for him. It doesn't really matter.
Just one guy. He didn't mean it. He was just joking around. Relax.
Yeah, yeah. InfoWars detailed here that the Sanders campaign may have bailed out violent Stalinists recently exposed by Project Veritas. This was in the wake of him being arrested for drug charges, I believe.
Of course.
Let's see. Jurek Zastrow of Project Veritas' latest expose was recently outed for saying Trump supporters and billionaires should be sent to Soviet-style gulags for re-education if Bernie wins the presidency. That's right. Below is a screenshot of showing 2016 charges for possession of marijuana and operating while intoxicated. Big surprise,
it's
right?
It's just weed. Relax.
But the chances were that this was paid for by the Sanders campaign. And again, imagine Trump doing something like that. Like the campaign covers for him, then bails him out after you've done like criminal activity or something like that.
Well, we know this. That's because these Bolsheviks run the show. I mean, it's so in your face and so apparent. We know this now. And they don't care about double standards and violence and all this crap. They just care about winning. And they just cover for their own all the time when it slips. But now it slips and they don't even care. They don't even hide it. And a lot of times.
Yeah, I mean, there's one layer of that we can add on to. And that would essentially be something like, obviously, it's continued the bad treatment of Bernie on top of this. You know, it means that the overall, you know, liberal class, at least, those who are very much anti-white and anti-nationalist, sure, they're moving in like, you know, Bolshevik direction, communists and stuff like that. But they do have their choice candidates. They you know, just like they screwed over Bernie in 2016, it looks like they're favoring like, Warren over Bernie now. And
even Biden, because
treatment.
Biden's made comments, you know, hey, fat.
Hey, fat.
And other hilarious comments.
I mean, exactly. I mean, Biden obviously will probably be the candidate. We'll see, right? But again, this point is who's number two, who's going to make it further. They don't like Bernie, it seems like, which is kind of interesting, which you would assume then ironically, that they would pick up something like this. And I don't know. I don't know. It's just, I think it would be also be moving a little bit too far, too fast, maybe. And they kind of, on one level, they know that, maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't know how conscious this is, to be honest. But it is kind of weird. Anyway, so big surprise, open communists calling for violence, put people in camps, re-educate them, kill people. Not a beep from the media, cover up, just whatever kind of thing. Just pretend that it's not happening.
Well, it's just like Bernie. Millions of people have seen it, though. His radical communist. It's okay. That was years ago. But then, like, what about someone on the right who was part of, I don't know, some scary right-wing group years ago, you know, talked about something in Germany. Oh, my God. 25 years ago.
Yep.
Destroyed this person's life forever, you know.
Yeah, and it can just be like they allude to something or they... you know, again, just talk about something of what they think happened, or not calling for violence, not anything like that. And it's still, they try to paint this picture that it's more incriminating than someone like openly calling for violence like this. But again, this is communism. They're showing their true face. This is what it's about. There's no
surprise here. We know what's up.
Yeah. And I mean, if they get power, they will start killing people. And it will be silent. They will haul people away. They will disappear in the night, just like when Stasi was, you know, ruling and the Cheka and all that stuff. It's like intimidation and shit like that. So, yeah, it's pretty scary stuff. Anyway, I found this one as well on the InfoWars site. Pretty interesting. Middle schooler threatened with suspension over virginity rocks.
As soon as I saw this, I'm like, okay, they want kids to have sex as young as possible now. Not just regular sex, but all kinds of kinky and degenerate forms of it too. I mean, clearly they want kids sexualized if this is a problem. These little girls are like, hey, virgin, we should be virgins or wait till you're married or whatever. It's like they don't want them to not have sex. Right? I think that's why they teach them about it so young, to get them to think about it and to try it. Obviously, and we've been talking about this, the sex is used as a weapon. It's used for control. They want them to be obsessed with unhealthy forms to easily manipulate them into all kinds of other things. I also saw Mark Collette had tweeted about a California school. It was teaching about bondage and dildos, of course, sex involving blood and anal sex and all these other things, if you can believe it. Anything but the normal stuff, right? You know, like, here's how you make babies. But even that should be up to the parents.
Yeah, you know? No, of course. But, you know, again, it's part of that indoctrination campaign. You make people addicted to their vices. And this is why so much pornography is offered for free. It's to rewire people's brains, is to make them addicted to their pleasures, essentially, right? Their carnal instincts. That's all, you know, it's very effective, very, very effective. So if they can get early, preteens and even younger kids, like, in this mindset and drawn into these kinds of things and make it seem that it's acceptable, they will be much easier to control.
Yeah.
And they know that.
And it's like, clearly there's an agenda. They really want people, including children, to whore around, don't they? Obviously. Yeah. It makes you wonder, right? Or it should make you wonder.
Suspended over, like, virginity rocks. Like, wait a minute.
It's amazing.
What happened?
It's, I mean, who's this? Some pedophiles who are, like, suspending them?
Seventh grader London Piglowski said he was told by his social studies teacher to turn the hoodie inside out or take it off, or else they would have
sluts to
take action. The Ventsville school district.
Lose your virginity now or don't come back to school.
Prohibits clothing that promotes immoral, illegal, sexual, and violent behavior, none of which applies to Piglowski's sweatshirt. Anyway, it goes on from there.
Yeah, this is messed up. Who is that person? And these parents should be, like, really loud and get that person fired. They're literally upset that these girls are, like, you know, don't have sex. And they're, like, what, 13?
Was it seventh grader, I think?
Something like that. Probably 13.
12, 13?
So it's just like, come on, you should be a virgin at 13.
Well, it continues.
God.
Advocating chastity is now grounds for getting canceled and being chaste makes you a terrorist as well.
This girl getting attacked.
Yeah,
right?
It was amazing. Two people were canceled over the past few days for recommending people wait until marriage to have sex, and a new threat assessment from the Texas Department of Public Safety is proclaiming that people who don't have sex are domestic terrorist threat. Right?
Yeah, because you might be an incel, right? You're going to go shoot up people and be mad at immigration. You're just mad at immigration because you're not getting enough sex, right? That's what they always say. So
yeah,
annoying.
Again, if you're not easily controlled by your vices, and if you have self-control, I would assume that it means as well, then it means you're probably a dangerous right winger, and he could lead to terrorism. But yeah, anyway, someone on Twitter,
some hoe who got an STD. She claims that she came across. I don't know how she came across. She just says she was confronted with this nurse when she went to go get an STD test. That doesn't even make sense.
I think she just saw it on TikTok.
Oh, she just saw it and it offended her, right?
Well, her argument is she was looking on TikTok. She saw the video and reposted it on Twitter and just saying like, hey, if I encounter a nurse like this that would tell me to wait until marriage, someone is getting knocked the fuck out, she says, right?
Yeah, because she was saying something about she was getting checked for some STDs or something. And someone said, well, the way you avoid that is, you know, not having sex until you're married or something like that.
Look at this wonderful girl here. These are the photos she has of herself. This is the one complaining on the, if you don't want STDs, like, don't hold off on sex, until marriage.
She speaks real classy and ladylike, too, in her tweets.
Her handle is Dumb Bitch Margo.
She'd be cute if she wasn't such a hoe, you know?
Well, that's past. this had 7.2 million views, and this is all it was. Look at this.
Awesome music.
Fantastic. Yep. There you go. That's now terrorism as radical.
Radical
as it gets, essentially.
Yeah, and that thread, they were just tearing that girl apart too. Oh my God, she's not touring around and getting STDs.
This is disgusting, right? Hollywood didn't want to disclose her full name or any personal information. Told BuzzFeed News she deleted the video due to the backlash. She also apologized for any offense that was taken, as she only wished to promote positivity and healthy lifestyles. Right?
Apologize.
Need to have an STD. If you're going to be on our side, you need to have at least a couple of STDs. Right?
First, I thought, what is this pretend nurse in her Halloween costume? What is this?
Yeah. Let me see. What did she say? People who watched her video commented that if they felt it was irresponsible for her to suggest abstaining from sex as medical advice.
No one is stopping you from whoring around, but people are going to have an opinion about you whoring around.
Mm-hmm.
You
know? STDs rates are exploding and hitting record highs, but it's irresponsible to tell people to wait until marriage, right? And it's like, again, what other ways are you proposing? I mean, it's even been proving that it's like condoms could break if you use that, and you could still get shit.
Even if not marriage, at least a partner. Just have one person that's a stable
relationship.
That you're with. You know? I don't even think you have to wait till you're married, but it's just like, have your one person you love you can have sex with them.
Again, this used to be totally normal. It was a sensible, rational perspective or position to hold, essentially, right? All this need to be, they're trying to push that back into the shadows, essentially. That's disgusting. Oh my God, I can't believe it. And again, it's for control.
Archaic.
They want these kids to sleep around. They want to, if they get some STDs on, as a side dish to this, I guess that's an advantage too. The U.S. is experiencing steep, sustained increases in sexually transmitted diseases.
Oh my God.
Combined diagnosis of chlamydia, gonorrhea, and syphilis increased sharply over the past 5 years. Now, I wonder what is the reason for that? What's the correlation between STDs and getting them, right? Attracting them and STDs.
And certain groups have more of them, by the way. Yes.
Oh, look at these charts that they're showing here.
I mean, can you imagine being super young and single and thinking about this kind of stuff right now? Poor kids.
Many of these people, they get depressed. Ugh. They get, just one-night stands. They sleep around. And then on top of it, you have this idea with if you're an incel, then you're also a terrorist. it's like, wait a minute. Yeah, the Texas Department of Public Safety released a domestic terrorism threat assessment that identifies incels as an emerging. Now, we've talked about this, quite a bit, but this is a new one. Threat assessment that identifies incels as an emerging domestic terrorist threat. Once viewed as a criminal threat,
they need porn immediately.
Growing domestic, it's
amazing. You radicalize them with porn and transgenders.
Again, why are they pushing this? What's the deal with this, right? Absolutely amazing. We're showing Elliot Rodgers there too, but you get the idea, I guess. Unbelievable, huh? But yeah, check out this this classy lady here. It's bongs. And oh, yeah, look at this here. Like some people.
My response video.
I just set up a TikTok account.
So it's these like ugly, really ugly women responding to it too, of course.
Yep.
It's always the ugly fat girl who's going to like put her in her place.
Oh, boy. Oh, man. Yeah. All right. I can do a couple of super chats here. Harshit wrote a little bit earlier as well. Hey. He said,
I know you're studying, so you haven't been tuning in as much.
Hi, Henrik Lana. Congratulations on the good news. Long time because of college and studies, not being able to watch your live stream since November. May the force be with you. Thank you, Harshit. Yes. I appreciate that. No worries, man. It's all there in the archives. You can always catch up if you want later. Double Dog says, how are the home renovations going? I can't wait for you guys to show us the new home tour with all the details. 4chan needs to figure out where you live. And that's why we're not doing any of those, obviously. So.
Well, interior shots, you wouldn't really be able to tell.
Yeah, but we're not doing that. thank you, Double Dog. Appreciate that.
Maybe right before we sell, then.
No, it's not happening. Ted J says, thanks God, it's Flashback Friday with host News Chad and reporter Barbie, brought to you by Red Ice Memberships and ambiguously mutinous Super Chats. Well, exactly. That's how it's done. That's the business model right there. Thank you, Ted. Pamela Hauser says a message as well. Hello, I just wanted to tell fellow members that I'm here too. Thank you, Pam. Really appreciate that.
Thank you,
that.
Pam. I do owe you a phone call. Jeez.
Yeah, that's right.
It's so hard to return calls these days.
Very nice, both letters, but the silver things you've spoons. Sent to us and stuff. He's thank you, Pam.
Literally putting a silver spoon in my mouth, my baby's mouth.
Very nice. Thank you so much. We appreciate that. Right Winger says, hey, guys, I'm working on an article showcasing the litigation strategy of, and then within triple brackets, open border libertarian constitutional law attorneys to make most laws restricting immigration unconstitutional. I'll shoot it over when it's finished. Keep up the good work. That sounds interesting. Yeah, definitely. You know, DM me on Twitter, Right Winger. Make sure you follow him there too. He does a lot of good stuff. So keep that up. Thank you. Let me check if there's some on the DLive thing there as well. Blake Smith sent a diamond. No message. Kraut sent a diamond. It's always great mood bolstering listening to you. Well, thank you so much, Kraut. Mm-hmm. Hope you're doing well. Shroon says greetings. Greetings to you, Shroon. Blacksmith, a diamond, no message. Sign Wolf, a Ninja Gini. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. So it's Never Surrender, Henrik. Hail Red Ice. Thank you so much, sir. No, there is no other option. Kraut says again, Lana plus Henrik, my favorite mixed couple. Thank you. I appreciate that.
So mixed.
Very mixed. AGMD, a diamond. Shout out to Kiss Kardashian. Yeah, that's right.
I had D-Live. Some lefty telling me that I was watering down the your grandparents were refugees and you're watering down the Swedish bloodline.
But I'm also a refugee.
No. Yeah, it's like, oh yeah, my European grandparents and my blonde children, they just so stand out. They're just so different, right? You could tell them apart from other Swedes and founding Americans.
Okay, but you're saying communists said that?
Yeah, some leftist was actually saying that. Like, basically, you're a hypocrite. You come from refugee. And I did a good video about that, actually, in the members section.
Oh, yeah, yeah. All right. Okay, yeah, well, whatever. You can't win with these people.
It's funny. I think it's hilarious.
Kiska, at least there's some historical precedent, the Rus and the Scandinavian people. It's not a huge difference.
No,
if you go back, so whatever. Kiss Kardashian sent a diamond, says, get this nurse on DLive. We will share the lemons. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. Appreciate that. Kiss Kardashian sent another diamond, says, no need to make a TikTok. I can do it for you, LOL. That's right.
We should get on there, see how long we last.
TikTok. All the kids are on TikTok these days, I guess, right?
Yeah, a lot of young girls are on it.
Mm-hmm. All righty. TikTok. And what's the limit? Is it like...
20
of,
seconds?
Couple of, is it like a minute, 2 minute? What is it?
ADD time.
Maybe someone knows.
The mind of a college girl these days.
Chat, do you know? What is the limit on TikTok, if any at all? But it seems to be just kind of like a response video thing, what I've seen. I've seen it mostly from like PewDiePie meme reviews or something. You know, he's sitting there and like people record something and then they they use that to continue whatever is happening in that video to do something themselves. Or someone throws a ball.
I can go with that. You know, I'm sure I can find someone I can respond to.
I don't know if that's the point or not, but it seems, again, it's all this song and dance shit these days. You know, that's all it is, right? It's just like
bad
music
and
dancing.
A lot of the young... younger college girls, they don't, all the ones that I've talked to, they don't go on YouTube. There's a lot of young kids that just don't even go there anymore. So I don't think that's going to be the future platform, by the way.
No, absolutely not. Nay1418 says, thank you both for all you SCO. What does that mean? Thank you both for all your SCO. I'm sorry, I'm a boomer. What does SCO mean?
Hmm.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Kiss Kardashian sent another diamond. It says, TikTok limit is 60 seconds. Yeah, see? So
okay, 1 minute.
What can you do with that?
It's tough, you know? Seconds? I tried to make a 3-minute video the other day, and I was like, keep editing it down. I was like, I don't know if I can edit out anymore. Like, 3 minutes is...
Yeah.
I have to master that, though.
Yeah, that's right. Chad Crisp Slacks, I guess. Chad Crisp Slacks sends a diamond. He says, Henrik equals Chi-Com spy. Lana equals Russian asset. Cat equals CIA. Yeah, that's right.
Have a Chinaman who donates.
Chi-Coms. What's this? Oh, and of course, you're Jewish as well. That just doesn't go away. You know,
gosh. If you only knew.
These psychos are just...
You only knew what my family was
Jewish.
Like.
It's like, never ends. And they're very dedicated,
that's
too.
Like five
comment fields.
Five zealots that follow me.
Yeah, I mean, we know...
They'll be following
me
till I'm 80.
We know of a couple of legit, like, psychopaths. One
that were
actually
a girl who actually spent time in a mental institution.
Yeah, her parents put her in a mental hospital, and she's, like, you know, completely just, like,
still
deranged.
On it.
We did a video about our DNA results. We've talked about what the story of the cat,
those
but that
fake.
Comes from the
it's
rumors.
All fake.
It doesn't
None
matter.
None of it
you
is
know.
Real. It,
we're, you know, our mind is made up. We don't care what the truth is. You know, you're just never going to reach. So, oh, well. Oh, well, that's why we, that's why we cover so much for Israel and the Zionists and the Jewish interest groups.
Yeah,
here on the program.
My cat is a CIA plant.
Yeah. Well, those cats.
Back from the dead.
It's automatons these days, you know, they could pick up quite a bit. It's very good technology. All right, guys, let's pick right back up here and go through some of this stuff here. Stockholm, of course, have been suffering a lot of explosions recently. We've covered a lot of that. Other areas in Sweden, too, Norrköping. Malmö, of course, most hand grenades has gone off there than anywhere else in just recent years. It's incredible spikes of these bombings that occur.
Diversity is your strength, Sweden.
This was one that happened just a few days ago. Stockholm blast, one of the most powerful explosions in the capital. Police are investigating after a loud explosion damaged a building in a posh central Stockholm area in the early hours of Monday. Now, this is the big clue, right? This is an area called Östermalm, Gyllenstiernsgatan, which is a very, as they say, posh, rich. This is upper class as it gets, essentially, in the city, which is new, right? Because previously it's been in no-go zones, it's been in selected, suburb areas and stuff
areas.
Like that. Not rich areas, but now it is starting to creep into these areas as well.
And Stockholm is very expensive.
It's very expensive. Now, there's been a lot of speculation. The police have said, we don't know. What is this for? Whoops, was it even a bomb? They're like, well, there was no gas lines in the building. And, you know, like this, they're essentially playing dumb, right? Here's the map, by the way. Östermalm, northeast, from the very, very
core. How do you
say
bomb in Swedish? Someone was asking. That's a good question. How do you say bomb?
Bomb.
Bomb. just say the B at the end.
Bomb. Bomb. Yeah.
I love that. Sometimes I ask a word and it's just like, oh, it just sounds like English
exactly
with an accent.
Exactly the same. Well, yeah, Scandinavian is the first
green.
Root language, right, that later developed into
Apple.
English.
Apple.
Is one thing.
Apple.
The blast happened at 1 a.m., as I said, Gyllenstiernsgatan in Östermalm, area of Swedish capital, but could be heard several kilometers away. It damaged the building and parked cars with broken glass and other debris covering the area. Let's see here. Someone says here, police in the area told press conference at 1 a.m. that the incident was being investigated as a so-called devastation endangering the public. Yeah, no shit. But that no terrorism was suspected. It was one of the most powerful explosions we've had in this region, he said. Now, there was one quote here. What do you say here? Yeah, we don't know what it was about. We're investigating. We can't figure this out, kind of thing. Where was it? It disappeared, that line right there. So it was an enormous blast that shook her windows. Fire engines already on the way, and then lots of police and ambulances came. We saw a large piece of metal, which blah, 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 shook us on. But anyway, these mainstream articles are like, oh, why is this happening? We can't figure it out. There's been, of course, a wave of explosions in Stockholm and Uppsala. It was a good article by, I think it's Sean Frick who wrote this over at Nyheterna idag, News Today, good alternative site as well, that detailed that there was a person who lived there who was under the witness protection program, right? This is this is mob shit that we're starting to get now with these. Obviously,
it was a foreigner,
essentially 100%
right? There's no Swedish mob.
That this is a, you know... if only that this is an immigrant gang. It's a kind of a mobster related issue. Yeah. Someone has set up to like, oh, okay, will you testify in this court to rope in these people and nail these guys and stuff? And then obviously somehow they found this out. This was leaked on the back end. This is unclear exactly what happened there.
But the Swedes were giving out clean up all the mess and pay for it all.
Of course, someone was handing out enough information for them to find out where this person was going, living someone on the inside and stuff like that, right? So they're trying to kill the person that was engaged in the witness protection program. So these, you know, Swedish police had been caught totally like with their hands tied behind their backs. They're totally off center. They don't know why is this happening? And they're like dumb in the situation too. They're dumb in the sense they're like, you should be able to figure this out and understand what the reasonings are and connect the dots. But they just either they actually do it and they just don't talk about it publicly, or they're just too dumb to figure it out. I just don't know yet. But this shit is going to continue, and it's just gotten worse and worse and worse in Sweden. And it's just, you know, you've seen nothing yet. Trust me, it's going to get really, really bad. If there's boogaloo, it's going to happen in Sweden before anywhere else, I think, to be honest. Anyway, staying on Sweden here a little bit. This was kind of funny too. It was a
face. I'm really sick of this girl. The little kid. I can't stand her face anymore, and I know a lot of people feel that way.
Yeah, the
genetic freak.
Yeah, some people are speculating alcohol,
fetal
alcohol syndrome, which is potential. You know,
I mean, that's sad.
Her mom would she would probably be in that situation. I think, you know, Molly Nightingale. Yeah, the opera and, you know, wine and upper class and still, of course, super pro open borders and all this crazy stuff, right? But anyway, a Facebook bug revealed that it was her dad that obviously posted on her on her wall.
Of course. Right?
Busted. Facebook bug reveals Greta Thunberg's posts are written by her father. Wired magazine reports that for several hours last Thursday night, a bad code update erroneously allowed Facebook users to see exactly which account were posting to Facebook pages. For example, celebrities, politicians, businesses, and blogs often open a Facebook page that isn't tied to an individual profile, the accounts behind them, blah, blah, blah. The edit histories of anonymous Facebook pages contain the names and profile pictures of everyone who added to a particular page. Because this problem wasn't fixed for many hours, eventually some users discovered that they had access to this otherwise unavailable information. It didn't take long before screenshots of the edit histories of popular pages were made their way to several social media sites, according to Wired. And they, of course, go through Greta Thunberg's post.
Well, I see her tweets, I think the same thing, too. It's like, it's not her writing it. Someone else has access. They're posting whatever, pretending to be her. She's got these whole teams of people behind her.
Yeah.
Like, she's not coming up with this stuff on her own. They're just using her.
Well, no, of course. I mean, of course. That's just it.
She's a little girl. What does she know?
Yeah, and I mean, she's being used. I mean, it's like, I mean, sure.
Still can't stand seeing her.
She's so kind of annoying and bitchy. And I think she's convicted. But the thing is, she has autism. She has these mental problems. And she's obsesses about the climate thing issue. And this was the one thing that she like, that stuck. And she's like, she can't let that go. So I do on one level feel sorry for her. You know what I mean? She's totally using her. But of course her dad or somebody. I mean, she doesn't write her own things. And she can mediocre delivery of some of these speeches, right? But someone's writing them. But anyway, yeah, the edit history for Greta Thunberg's page shows that the content has actually been written by her father, Svante Thunberg, and Adarsh Parath, a climate, or however you pronounce that, a climate activist in India who serves as a delegate at UN's Climate Change Organization. Yeah. Whoopsie daisy. So, of course, it's...
Didn't expect an again, Indian man to
do,
be writing
Do you think this. There's massive coverage of this? No. They just don't talk about it in the mainstream media. They just cover it up. There's a couple of, you know, kind of more conservative-leaning, you know, somewhat independent papers to write about this stuff. But again, no surprise, right?
All right, wait. There was another a tweet, too. Okay. It's time to abolish billionaires. That was her latest thing. You have not seen anything yet, climate activist Greta says, ahead of whatever.
Oh, let me pull. Here it is. So. Yeah, let me pull that up. Here we go.
Yeah. Which is funny, this whole thing, because, yes, we know it is about communism, right? But she's funded by billionaires. She's promoted by these elites and billionaires. So they mean what this guy really means is communism, not for them. But for everyone else, of course, she just has to say it's time to abolish billionaires because it makes all the police.
And what does that
like,
mean
yeah.
exactly? I mean, she did make that comment when she was in a TV studio. I used it in the video I made about her. And again, for those who are new or something, before our YouTube channel was deleted, I made a video exposing.
Had like 600,000 views and like
yeah, 500,000. It was going up there real quick, right? It's still the second most popular on our BitChute channel right now. About 15,000 views, which is not a lot compared to what it had, but still, it's a decent video. All her links, the connections, and all that stuff, and that might, you know, again, might be one of the reasons why they yanked our channel.
And it's good that you did it because you're Swedish, you know these connections, you speak the language, you know the people. A lot of these idiots outside of Sweden, they don't know any of those people. They don't speak the language. Right. They don't know the connections, the history, and you detail that.
Yeah, it's very good. It's like 45 minutes long. It's still like a top 10, so you think it would be shorter, but you know,
basically all these rich people behind her too.
Yeah, it's a social democratic. Establishment that's weaved into the energy sector. This new, essentially, elite of environmentalist-oriented bankers, socialists that are essentially trying to jump on this opportunity to like rework essentially the financial system, the whole structure of how the West does business tied to the energy sector, and it's supposed to be green energy, which of course means funneled through them and their services and all that kind of stuff, right? So it's a kind of a hijacking, but at the same time. Because of the tweet there that you pulled out, you know, it's how it ties into it's communism at the end. I mean, it's communism at the end of the day. It's just it comes through the environmental backdoor, essentially.
Yeah. And then eventually it'd be like, and I've said this before, oh, you're a thought criminal. You can only have this much electricity today.
Yeah. Right?
You can only have this much water today. I mean, that's where they're going to take it. And that's why they also don't want people homesteading. People. That's also like some white supremacist threat now of people who are like survivalists on the land and, you know, bushcrafting and stuff.
They don't want you independent of them. They'll drive you out from the countryside. They'll tax you so hard. You need to go into the pod, eat your bugs, and just shut the hell up. And if you don't do what we tell you, we'll remove every ability that you have to live in the modern world. You think you're going to go out on the countryside after that with like, you know, plows and, you know,
seeds?
The
communists did.
It happened.
My great grandfather spent time in jail because he didn't pay taxes on, I think it was some kind of solar energy or rainwater or something. It was something. I can't remember what it was.
Yeah.
But he refused to pay taxes on that. And he was, you know, had his farm and everything. He went to prison.
Yeah. Same with the Illuminati, right? The Adam Weishaupt way back in the 16th century. They, you know, it was like, we're going to take over, we're going to create a new order and stuff like that. And again, they used themselves of the aristocratic class at that time. Same thing as there's a certain faction of the aristocratic class. So they and the bankers and the billionaires that are using her as a tool to get even more power. And it's just about abolishing the competition, essentially, right? So the billionaires are backing her up, right? That's why she's invited to the World Bank meeting. And sit there and, you know, waving her, pointing her finger at these people. And they're like applauding at the end of this. Oh, my God, this is great. Like, if she actually was a threat, do you think they would accept her, like, sticking it to them at the UN or at the World Bank or something like that? Like,
this is so great.
It's just bullshit. It's just theater, all of it. Anyway, to continue the madness here, guys, it's insanity what these people are doing. The EU is laying out a €1 trillion plan to support what they call now a Green Deal. Remember AOC, the Green New Deal? And she was like, why doesn't America accept my Green New Deal? And EU is like, here, hold my beer. Like, we'll do it. We'll do it 10 times more. A quarter of the budget is going to be dedicated to tackling climate change. The European Union plans to dedicate a quarter of its budget. Like, do you understand how much money that is? A quarter of the budget.
Wow.
To tackling climate change. And to work to shift 1 trillion euros in investment towards making the EU's economy more environmentally friendly over the next 10 years. Okay, well, that sounds great now, doesn't it? What does it actually mean? What are they going to do? What's the plan? And then you kind of read on a little bit and talk about it. And even Vox, a left-leaning Vox, says about this. The European Union plans to eliminate its contributions to climate change by 2050. But its plan is light on how to do so. In other words, it's like, well, we'll see how we take care of that, right? It's essentially, I mean, the EU has been the biggest like scheme in terms of like getting a few people incredibly wealthy, right? And it's essentially more of the same. There's a lot of people who are going to pocket a lot of this money. They're going to walk away and they're going to say, we're doing this for the environment. Look, we need more control over your life. We're going to tell you how much hours you can use about of these watts, yeah, and how much water you can use and stuff. But it'll cost this much money and we're going to take your money. We're going to take them from you in the form of taxes and you're going to be forced to pay. If this is such a quarter of the budget, you'd think that the European population would have something to say about this and vote, mm-hmm, on this issue, right? Mm-hmm. No, instead it's the European Commission. They just decide it and then it goes to the European Parliament, which, okay, there we have some representatives that have been elected. But that's not where the policy is made. It's in the European Commission.
And they have a clear plan here to destroy the nation states and sovereignty. They just want there to be one Europe country, right? Like the nation of Europe. All these little homogenous nations are now
They won't even call it a nation, by the way.
No, they won't. But I even saw, too, Nigel Farage had said, we just had while he was at a parliament meeting, right? We just had our Union Jack flags removed from our desks in the European Parliament by order of the president. National symbols are now banned.
Yep.
Thank God we are leaving, he says. A representative from Wales said the EU is hell-bent on destroying the nation state to create its empire. So all the different representatives from the different countries, you know, they have their little flag on their desk when they're there in the EU meeting on whatever the size of the arch of a cucumber, whatever the hell they talk about. Now you can't even have the flag.
Well, I mean, this was the goal all along. And you know, when you get into the weeds of this thing, and I used to cover it in much more detail like years ago, now it almost feels like the EU is just such a monster. It's just devoured up anything. It needs to be continued to be exposed, right? But when you get into like the Kalergi plan and stuff, and that he, together with like, you know, Otto von Habsburg and the Max Warburg, of course, who gave him a lot of money. There's Rothschild money there. There's a lot of, Jewish establishment money, you know, behind Kalergi and some of the things, you know, that they kind of worked out. Habsburgs are a part of that, too. It's just no doubt the Pan-European Union, how that formed in the early days. They say, oh, after the Second World War, we had to do something about this to stop it. And that's bullshit because Kalergi, he wrote this right around the outbreak of the First World War, right? Before even all this started happening, this turmoil of like unifying all the European nations. And we're going to create this, in his words, the European Negroid race of the future, he wrote in his book.
Negroid, Asian blend. Just a blended human.
In the outward appearance of the Egyptians was the actual quote.
But only in Europe.
From his book.
by the way.
Yeah, no, of course. And again, how do you do that? Well, you bring in a lot of Africans and North Africans and Middle Easterners, of course.
To him, that's going to unify and end the big bad European influence on the world.
Yeah. And of course, he was mixed himself. So that means everyone else has to destroy their identity and ethnicity and race and all that stuff, right? Yeah. But I mean, again, this idea that they picked a national anthem already, and that was actually proposed way back by Kalergi, right? There's There's a Kalergi Prize, there's a Charlemagne Prize that these EU leaders get. I'm not going to go into this whole thing now, but it's like, this was always in the works. When they put the EU flag next to the national flag, people are like, okay, well, at least we have both. It's okay, right? But no, now they're going to yank the national flag, and now it's just the one. This was the goal all along.
Yes.
And it's a symbolic move. It doesn't really mean that much. I mean, these nations are essentially under the thumb of EU anyway.
Tells you where their head is at,
anyway,
though.
Right?
You know, they're conscious of what they're doing.
Absolutely. Now, actually, I haven't seen this yet. It's 1 minute and 22 seconds long. I guess it's the promo video that's going to launch and sell the European Green Deal to us here.
How much did this cost?
And look at how I saw like 10 seconds euros? In the beginning. It was like, this is like bad animation.
Yeah, everything
they
touch is caca.
It's shitty, and you know it costs some
crazy amount of money.
What was it called? A consultant firm came in. They got 450,000 euros to propose an idea. They handed it off to their nephew editing company, and and they got 2 million to do.
You know, typical government waste and nepotism, right?
If there's anything about, I mean, the Brits have written about this for like for decades now, about the just fantastic waste.
The champagne, caviar dinners they go on to.
The waste of the food, and they're moving the meetings back and forth. They just the cost of moving the files back and forth between, you know, the
useless.
The parliament and the there's two buildings. I forget. It's one is in Brussels. Excuse me. The other one is in Strasbourg, I think. And they go back and forth all the time between this.
Yeah, we saw those monstrosities.
Anyway, let's play this one here.
That'd be great.
The European Green Deal is Europe's new growth strategy. We have to act now.
So it's act now. Don't think, just act.
The European Commission has prepared three concrete actions that will offer a strong basis for the New Deal.
Wonderful.
I want Fabulous. To become the first climate-neutral continent in the world by 2050.
That's going to end well.
Real benefits include zero pollution, affordable and secure energy, smarter transport, and high quality
food. Pod living, eating bugs.
A just transition fund will leverage public and private money, including with the help of the European Investment Bank.
All these will contribute to a global Green Deal. No one will be left behind.
Just a bunch of words.
We will deliver a sustainable Europe investment plan.
Our 1 trillion euro of investment would give investors confidence to make long-term decisions on environmentally responsible projects. This will mean new jobs, a cleaner environment, and a better quality of
life.
This
is a very gay project.
Oh my God, I'm like, is this like a gay dance party promo? Like, what is going on? And then this woman, who's this woman they keep showing? Like this, I see way better videos on YouTube than this.
Well, she's the, come on, she's the actual head here now. So she's the president now.
No
so
one will we be know left who she behind. Is.
We will deliver a sustainable Europe investment.
Yeah, I mean, she's the one who replaced, was it, again, I'm confusing it between the commission and the parliament.
Yeah, I can't keep up with all
Juncker,
of them.
Juncker, of course. I think she was the one who replaced Juncker, but there's the other, the other guy. His name escapes me now, it'll come to me. There's two different people, but anyway.
Anyway, bad video, just a bunch of words that don't actually mean anything.
Yeah,
we have to
act.
We're promising you all these things, so let's act now, and then you don't even know what the hell it is that they're really talking about.
Responsible projects.
New jobs.
No pollution.
Jobs. I have an idea. Don't import like millions of people each year into the European continent, and you'll see wages start going up.
And pollution go down, by the way.
Demand for work once again, right?
Yeah.
For people. Exactly.
We Europeans are ready.
Cleaner.
We are ready.
And it's like a really bad techno song too. Like, oh, what is that?
Sorry, boys and girls,
like
you have to see that.
But Casio keyboard or something, you know.
And you know that video cost like one million euros at least. You know.
Yeah, and that voiceover alone. You know?
Yeah. We're going to work on creating a much
It's going to be so
Europe.
Fabulous. Just trust me.
And it's one. It comes in this package too, where you're like, you can't. How can you kind of disagree, right? Like, what are you saying? You don't want to have clean air and good water, or like, you know what I mean? It's like, well, but that's not what it's about. It's about like taking control of people's lives and taking their money and, you know, shaming people for doing.
Yeah, they're not talking
things.
About stopping, you know, the manufacturing of toxic chemicals that are, you know, killing the environment and our bodies and animals and the water. They don't talk about that ever.
Yeah, no. No, it's insane. So be it anyway. RK sends a couple of bucks. Says Muslims use animals for fun. Young white daughters for use power that they don't have. P.S. Sweden is lost and wasteland soon. I don't agree. I think it's not over until it's over. I get the sentiment, and we hear that a lot. There's a lot of people that emotionally just disconnect from and say, you know what, F Sweden, I'm done with it. I don't want to see it anymore. But It's not over until it's over. And there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be increasingly fed up with where things are going. So thank you, RK, though. I appreciate the comment. But I don't think it's over. That's all I'm saying. We're going to talk a little bit about the Muslim thing in the UK here a little bit later, too. Glenn, the Chinaman since 20. Thank you, sir. He says,
careful, Glenn. You know, people are going to start thinking the Chi-Coms are funding us.
Well, it's coming up here,
donations.
Too. Lana should claim she's related to the new DLive CEO because of her Chinese-born
there
father
you go. There
to
you
claim
go.
Some
you
DLive
that.
Ownership.
Yes,
that's true. Yeah,
that
thank
is
you,
right.
Glenn. Yeah, absolutely.
DLive, the China connection, it's all coming together now.
Yeah. Jacob H. says, I hope the house upgrade work is going well. Yeah, it is. It's on track. He says, I also hope Henrik isn't just being domestically exploited as a source of cheap foreign labor. I'm getting nothing paid, guys.
At least he's legal.
I'm being abused.
At least he's legal. I straight up asked Cruz, too. You guys should see this. I straight up asked, like, the painter guy who came and stuff. I was like, you don't have any illegals, do you? Just get in their face about it.
Well, I mean, again,
like, prove it.
And they can say, no, we don't. But then the crew shows up and you're kind of questioning anyway.
Yeah, you know what I mean? That happened one time.
It's very hard. Because
and it was only,
like,
the one time.
You try to get a crew, which
actually,
you know, you think are like, you know, it's Americans. They, you know, they
send the
work,
white guy to like make the deal.
Yeah,
and then they send this crew that's
right?
Like straight out of Guatemala. Yeah. And in this pack is like, there's one guy who speaks English and talks for all the pack.
You know?
Like that's how they do it now.
Yeah, it's hard. But yeah, anyway, thank you. It's going good. We're almost about down here. So we'll get back to business as usual. Double Log sends another message. Is that great to hear? Great hearing from Pam again. I was worried she'd sent one too many dolls. And Henrik had dealt and had her dealt with. Henrik had her dealt with.
I do have a lot of dolls.
If you know what I mean.
If you want
I wouldn't put it past him. I mean, look at him.
I do have a lot of these great dolls that she makes. And she hand makes them and even has used organic fabrics and cottons and wool and does all the different hair and eye colors representing the beauty.
She's very talented.
She's very talented at it. So, you know, we should promote that. We'll ask her. Otherwise, you know.
Yeah, no.
Don't want to hurt anything.
No, of course. No.
But if you all are listening and you need some dolls, if your little girls need some dolls, reach out to me. I'll send you one. Because I have some.
They remind me of something else I've seen, but I don't know what they recall. I've
they're
seen
better
similar...
than Cabbage Patch Kids.
Is that what it is?
You're probably thinking
me
of Cabbage Patch
because
they
yeah.
had some fabric and some of the yarn hair and stuff.
Okay.
I played with those when I was little.
Yeah. Well, you know, she's very creative. A lot of creative people among our bunch here. So, yeah, thank you, Pam. Thank you, Double Log, too. Brad Grandbus has another message here as well. Of course, I think it was the first one today, obviously. $50. Thank you, sir. Appreciate
thank
that.
You.
He says, Freedom Shekels, cool interview yesterday. I think I caught most of it live. I hope those boys, talking about Virginia, of course, the upcoming Richmond, if you missed that, I forgot to say it in the beginning, but didn't have too many views on BitChute yet, so make sure that you check it out. I made a show with Matt Bracken. He's a former Navy SEAL, talking about some of the possible scenarios of what might go down at the pro-Second Amendment rally in Richmond, Virginia, upcoming on Monday. Very important show and very important event, I think, overall. Anyway, Brad continues here. He says... It says, I hope those boys know what they're walking into. My cabin is about 2 hours west of there. Oh, so, yeah, if the boogaloo happens, you're close by. My cabin is about 2 hours west of there, so I was going to head up and go check it out. But I think I'll stick to walking folks up in the conversation at the feed store checkout line
or exactly.
The farmer's market.
That's what, yeah.
Thanks. Sorry for butchering that sentence there for you. Thank you for doing what you do, guys. Thank you, Brad. I appreciate that. Well, yeah, I mean,
that was
exactly.
That a good show, too.
Again, I mean, I hope for the best. And
now,
I
Antifa
things are
is
going
to be there marching, and then there's one Antifa group that's supposedly going to be on the same side that is against this gun control because, of course, they like violence. They want to have access to
guns. We have a story about that later. Hopefully, we'll get to it, right? But...
Yeah,
it's crazy.
There's all kinds of interesting things forming there. Now we talked about this yesterday, perhaps because everyone is putting it out there so much like, oh, false flag, warning, beware. Maybe now nothing will happen. Maybe we're diverting that. I hope.
Right.
But
that could be. I don't know how, you know, big the warnings was before, like Charlottesville. I mean, I know that there's some people that were like, hey, don't go to that thing. Like, it's going to be bad news. And a lot of people kind of felt like that, too. But. This is a little bit, it's bigger already in terms of the attention that it's gotten, yeah. I think, right? So,
and you know, we'll Gator, see, maybe. I saw Gator was reminding people on Twitter that this, this lobby thing that's happening with the guns. They do this every year, apparently.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
so just this year,
yeah,
just this year, it's become this huge thing because of the gun control.
Because
issue.
The Virginia Citizen Defense League chose to do their event on that day because there are so many other interest groups and people and, you know, all kinds of probably rational and wacko people there as well. They want to have their say, right? So we'll see what happens. But anyway, thank you, Brad. I appreciate that. Let's see if there's a couple of DLI here quick, and then we'll move on fast to get to some of those last stories there that we have. A lot of things actually still lined up. Raphael 1433 says, UK girls need male guardianship to protect them like they have in Muslim countries. We'll talk about that just here in a moment. Thank you, Raphael. He's essentially Ninja Gini, by the way, so thank you. Porch Monkey Diamond says, TikTok is a dark place where Zoomers add boomer meat. Mm. Thank you, Porch Monkey. Yeah, I mean, it seems to be a lot of predatory stuff there. I've heard in passing, like, the you know, older people that lure young people into shit and stuff. But yeah. Verbo Tempesta sends a daemon. He says, hail Red Eyes. Thank you, Verbo. Appreciate that. Sent another diamond. Says, so glad we're not speaking German. Yeah, exactly.
Thank God.
Whew. Close call, guys. Can you imagine speaking Arabic or Spanish, being invaded by a foreign people that speaks different languages and a different language? And
which is funny in America because America, the largest ethnic group forever, has been German anyway.
Yeah, like,
that's what's so sad about it. German.
That's so sad about it. And it's, of course, a very Germanic language group. It's very close anyway. Verbo Tempesta sends another diamond, says homestead nationalism. Absolutely. We should have you on to talk about that. We should set that up, by the way. So we'll reach out to you, Verbo. Kraut sent a diamond. Love Europe, hate the EU. Absolutely. I agree. And that's important. It's important to make that distinction because
it's not the same thing.
Either people willfully confuse that or they are dumb, do not realize what you're talking about.
There's been plenty of times, and I did a video on this already, when I'm like, oh, we're pro-European. You know, you're pro-EU?
EU,
like,
yeah.
That has nothing to... They're like anti-Europeans. They're anti-white.
There's people that think the EU is Europe.
No.
Right? Anyway. Shroon sent a diamond. USMCA contains portions directed at EU in US. Oh, really? Interesting. Okay, I gotta look into that. I know that, of course, that there's a lot of US interest in the early formations of the EU. You know, you have the... What was it that we went through? The conference... Oh, jeez, it escapes me now. It was the Marshall Plan and all that stuff. I'm not sure if that's what you're referring to. UMCA contains portions directed at EU in US. Yeah, I'll look into that. But yeah, there's a lot of interest in the early days of the formation of the EU, like by the Marshall Plan and stuff like that. The Stay Behind armies, they were all kind of involved in that stuff. Anyway, thank you for that, Trun. Bilkshmir? Sorry. Donated a diamond, says, make white babies.
Working on that.
That's right. I mean, that's if there's one thing you can do, you know, you can always do that. They'll piss them off more than anything, right? So
Having kids that aren't globo homo will piss them off.
Verbo Tempestas sent another diamond, said, make lots of white babies. Absolutely. Shroon sent another one. USMCA starts North America Union, like EU sneaky. Maybe that's the case. I'm not sure. Cultivated Barbarian sent a diamond. No message. Save Europe one Goy Pride parade. Anyone? Sends a diamond. Thank you. Shroon sent another diamond. Says, hail Chinaman. Absolutely. And why is that not visible? One second here. Where is that going? That's weird. I can't see the bottom of that. I don't see if you have a message. That's weird. Canada of the North sent a diamond, but I don't see if there's a message on that. My window is hiding it. If it is, I'll read it later. All right, thank you, guys. Proceed here. India, real quick mention about this. Kind of interesting. India needs to go on a global anti-terrorism spree like the U.S. did after 9/11.
Don't do it, India.
It's very strange.
Not a good move.
We have to bring an end to terrorism, and that can... Now, initially you think, okay, you know, with Pakistan and all that kind of stuff, you know, there's reasoning
fight
why they're talking
home, though,
like this.
Not overseas.
Right. But it's the end kind of sentence here in this that gives it away a little bit. We have to bring an end to terrorism. That can only happen the way America started after the 9/11 terror attack. They said, let's go on a spree, a global war on terror. India, he suggests, has to take the bull by its horn and strike at the root cause. It could. It would be wrong to think that the war on terrorism is going to end, he added. General Rawat, who spent several years leading counterinsurgency operations, hailed the activities of the Financial Action Task Force, the AFTF, the FATF, an international watchdog tackling money laundering and terrorism financing, saying the countries sponsoring terrorism must be held accountable. This last sentence here. Any country which is sponsoring terrorism has to be taken to task, he said. It is also crucial to tackle, quote, the ideology of radicalization and suppress radicalism online, Rawat suggested.
Oh.
It's like, oh, okay, here we go. So we're back up. It's not just about, like, actually fighting, like, ISIS or something, you know what I mean? I don't know what portion of this is like, honest, if you know what I mean, or if it's just saying, like, they're going to join the globalist guard now in terms of, like, yeah, let's go and take out these, you know, enemies that we think are bad or whatever. Yep. It could be another. Again, I mean, it's an interesting just question, though, because imagine when China and India are on par with, like, the United States, both in defense, economy.
It is happening.
And I mean, they have lots of money, lots of resources, lots of people,
huge populations.
Yeah.
India has a billion people.
Yep. Yeah. Going to be a different game. So good news out of Chile. Chile's Senate approved same-sex marriage.
Okay, well, great. Then all those people fleeing Latin America for gay rights in the West, they don't have to come anymore. They can just stay down there.
Well, there you go.
Well, I wonder how long before Drag Queen Story Hour starts up.
It's already happening. But AJ Plus, of course, says it still needs to pass many more hurdles, though. But if
you can get married, you're getting married. Then what other hurdle is there?
Yeah, well, we have to, you know, you ask for tolerance and acceptance first, and then it's like if you refuse to celebrate this, we'll put you in prison, right?
That's what it's culturally about. Still in Latin and Central America, it is definitely not culturally gay friendly. I mean, it's not like they're stoning them or hanging them or anything, but they frown upon it. So people just kind of stay in the closet, if you will.
The country would be, if they prove it, the sixth in Latin America to pass a marriage equality bill. I like the Orwellian language there. Marriage equality bill. Well, staying in Latin America a little bit too, Mexico City subways suffer constant shutdowns because everyone is urinating into the escalators.
So it's a piss hole country now.
Creepy red state house there. I kind of cringe at some of this writing, though, but I'll read it anyway. If you're a lover of the Mexico City subway, I don't want to take the piss out of your affection, but this story's got to be told. It's golden.
It's a golden shower down here.
Its densely populated state Metro's line has a problem. True, the system's escalators are old and roughly used, but its age is the reason their drive wheels and mechanisms keep eroding, or is that the reason why it keeps corroding? As a result, moving staircases frequently break down and passengers don't like it and reveal, of course, that the culprit is copious amounts of pee. Now, I read a similar story out of the UK many years ago now. There was the older buildings were starting to erode in London and other central...
From people peeing on the sides?
When they're out drinking and they're peeing on the stones and it's like eroding
them, breaking them down, and stuff.
It's
gross and it smells and just, ugh, wow. No.
Yeah.
No, we have things called toilets now. Use them.
Yeah, but, you know, that's it's Mexico City for
it. Well, I'm sure there's going to be a huge migrant caravan after this, you know.
Because of the corrosion of the drive wheels and the escalators.
Yeah, yeah, you know.
Yeah, any excuse, yeah. Can't use the escalator. Okay, so let's talk about this UK thing here a little bit too. British police failed to stop Muslim grooming gang due to fears over community tensions. This is community tensions. Political correctness led to widespread sexual abuse of children yet again. What is this, the 10th, the 20th time that this is coming out?
Yep.
British police in Manchester failed to stop dozens of girls being sexually abused by a network of Pakistani men despite knowing it was happening due to fears over creating community tensions. In yet another grooming scandal involving predominantly Pakistani men sexually abusing mainly white girls, a new report reveals that Greater Manchester Police, quote, failed to take appropriate action more than 15 years ago, despite getting details of nearly 100 persons of interest who were using takeout restaurants as a base to rape and abuse children in care between the ages of 11 and 17. Yep. And despite the fact that the culprits were operating, quote, in plain sight.
Also, they were even putting, when you go to those kebab shops, the girls stay away from those in London, they were putting date rape drugs in girls' kebab dishes.
I saw something in passing. They say the slang that these people are using for them, the girls, is fried chicken nuggets, because it's cheap white meat. It was actually a police that spoke to this too. Chief Constable of Greater Manchester Police reads
coward.
A written apology.
Coward. A little too late.
For ignoring Muslim rape gangs in Rochdale, refusing to answer any questions about it. Check this out here.
Good afternoon. I'm Ian Hopkins, the Chief Constable of Greater Manchester Police.
And I'm a traitor and a coward.
On behalf of Greater Manchester Police, I want to apologise to all of those vulnerable children who were let down in 2004 when Greater Manchester Police did not thoroughly investigate.
They were let down.
The abhorrent offences that had been committed against them. I want to say that I'm personally disgusted that these children were not cared for and the awful abuse they suffered. I'm committed to doing all that we can to ensure that they receive the justice today that they were denied 15 years ago.
Jeez.
Now, we've been saying this for years, you know, when non-Europeans rape, especially these Muslims, they look the other way because it's racist and it fuels the so-called radical extremist nationalists. You know, it just proves that nationalists are right. We're right. Right. And YouTube also protects them, by the way. They cover for them because it's also racism. It's more important that people like us are shut down from pointing out who is doing the raping than the raping itself. I mean, this is utterly disgusting. And it was like all these white guys that are covering and not saying anything because, oh, racism. They disgust me the most.
Yeah.
Just utter traitors and cowards.
It's amazing. And again, these weak apologies that are meant to like make up for this, I guess, in some way. It's just devastating seeing this stuff over and over and over again, and it's just another area. And again, what do you think is going on right now? This is stuff that happened 10, 15 years ago.
And then they admit it. Just like 10 years from now, they're going to admit, oh, yeah, those denied, people that we exactly. called all these white supremacists and all this, they were right about this and this and this and this, and, oh, sorry, you know.
Yeah, and they think that's going to cut it. You know, again, I just don't see people in the long run accepting this. I just don't. I see the anger rising out of this lawlessness, this total chaos where, again, it's like, yeah, I call them chicken nuggets, right? Cheap white meat.
It's just they're sociopathic. They just have zero moral conscience, these people.
It's us, we're taking over, we're colonizing, we're taking your children, we're taking your women, we're raping these people. That's what it's about. Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's so disgusting. And turning a blind eye when their nation's kids, their children are being drugged and raped. I have no hope for these guys. And in fact, I want them to pay for what they've done.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think, I'm just not advocating anything, but I just think eventually the people will have enough. More and more of these stories are coming out. The anger and resentment is building up, and it's like, it's not going to be enough. We just like having a Brexit, or even they might not even get that now. You know what I mean? It's like discontent, want to be our own nation. Obviously, these are expressions of anguish and angst to a certain extent that Britain and all these other countries too are losing their identity. They're losing their ethnic makeup. What is happening here, right? They're trying to fight back, but it's not going to cut it.
And by the way, they're not Asian.
Well, yeah, they keep calling like it. Here's always. Mark Call at Twitter about this too. When Muslim grooming gangs reported to the police for sexually abusing white girls, officers were told not to investigate these cases. Is this what they call white privilege? Watching your daughters being sexually abused as the police refused to act? Remember in Sweden too, they have a special code. It was a 271, which they classified crimes, even rape and these things that were... where the perpetrator was of immigrant background or non-Swedish background, just to cover it up, just to not talk about it, just not to get any news stories about it. Well, why do you think they're doing all this stuff? Of course, the headline Mark links up here too. Asian grooming gang free to roam streets because officers were told to find other ethnicities to investigate, detective claims. How many times are we going to hear this? How many times is this going to come
and
out?
And it's just utter denial of, like, this is what they do in their own country. Like, Pakistan has issues with rape. Like, I know that they're raping Hindu women, too, by the way. But it's just like, this is what they do. And
Afghanistan,
then they come,
I know, young boys and stuff.
Ugh, it's disgusting. And then, I mean, there's a problem with rape in the Muslim community. It's just a fact. And there's just this utter denial of it. And then they're just going to magically change when they get exposed to liberal values and feminism. And we can do om chants with them and change them, like we talked about last week.
Oh, yeah, the Weekend Warrior show. That was hilarious. We covered that. It was a French New Ager, which is just like, we're just going to meditate on these no-go zones and make sure that they don't commit
crimes. Yoga
mantras
with
like
them.
Anything to, like, not look at the reality of, like, this again. Is it boomers sticking their head in the sand or like, oh, well, I'll be gone and dead by then? Or it's like, oh, we can just have peace, just project peace through the ether and it will change everything. It's like, no, you have to act. Like, you have to organize, speak up, act, awaken your fellow human beings around you, make them understand, your fellow countrymen, your fellow men and women around you, and protect your kids. And again, it's about equipping people with, like, the country that, you know, we grew up in or whatever, like, that's not happening anymore.
It's
like,
you can't
go out alone and at a bar and this shit. You can't. I mean, commenter said before on DLive, the donation, you know, like, UK women and in Sweden, even the cops have suggested this. Like, make sure you have an escort that can follow you around, essentially.
We're
going
to have to be like
a
Muslim society with male guardians because it's so violent.
Why do you think that arose in those countries? Why do you think these strongmen dictators came into place and they say, if you commit a crime, we're going to chop your hands off? Because it was the only way, ironically, you know, what this communist talked about early in the show, he was talking about fascists and, like, the only thing they understand is violence. Well, ironically, you could reverse that thing and project that in a completely different direction because it seems the more liberal and open our Western societies is, this is seen as an invitation to commit crimes.
Come and walk all
the
over us. You'll get away with
crimes.
It.
And just get away with it. Yeah. And they're laughing in our faces. These guys don't say anything. The dumb idiots. They just, you know.
They get 2 weeks community amazing. Service. And even that, they can, like, skip off. You know?
Yeah, I remember the Somali. They raped a 19-year-old raped a 13-year-old Somali guy. Raped a 13-year-old Swedish child in Sweden. Vaginally and anally. He got two weeks. Community service.
So disgusting. Right? I mean, to be that father, I just don't know what.
It's like, hard. It's hard handling this stuff. But this is the reality of it. You know, it's like these things are happening, and majority of people out there are refusing to recognize this. They run to a million different explanations, or they refuse to look at it at all, and they just don't face this reality straight on, head on, and say, okay, what do we do here? Like, how do we solve this? What's the reason? Why is this uptick of these horrendous just gang rapes and these crimes? What is the root of this, right? I mean, I know Peter Sweden didn't, like, mean what he said when he wrote, but I replied to some tweet. It was like, however many gang rapes there were in Sweden, it was like 80 times more than in, like, Poland or something like that. It's like, what could be? I mean, I know he means well or whatever, although he's a little boomerish sometimes, but it's like.
And you're like, stop immigration. He's like, well, that's white nationalism.
What's the reason for this? Or why is this happening? And it's like, we know why this is happening. Just spell it out. I mean, I know he's trying to suck in more people.
Yeah, but they always do that. Those people like that, though. You identify the problem, and then we give a good solution. Like, just stop immigration. Repatriate these people, and then they're like, oh my god, that's white supremacist rhetoric.
There's no option here. There's no way you can go or turn, because if you say, well, let's clean this up, let's at least throw out people who openly are, like, hating the people that
raping
in the country that they've come to, or they hate the country, or they commit horrendous crimes or crimes at all, right? Just get them back. They gotta go back then. They obviously don't want to live in our society, right? So it's like.
But meanwhile, you know, if a white guy, as we're going to show here now, like, misgenders or manspreads, you know, they're practically put him in prison.
Yeah, it was only Orland Good had one more grooming gang case. I think it's the same from Manchester too, repeated. But used like a piece of meat. That's what I'm talking about. The chicken McNuggets or whatever they call it. Yeah. Girl 15 repeatedly raped by Asian grooming gang, but police failed to investigate when she reported the abuse, right? So they can go and report. This is a feminist Western government.
No Me Too movement now.
No. Oh, this guy quickly. We're talking about grooming gangs. I don't know if it's true that Imam of Peace can be kind of cringy, boomery sometimes. Weirdly pro-Israeli on some issues too, by the way. Very suspicious. But anyway, he claims ISIS Mufti Shia al-Nimam has been arrested. He was one of the main figures to order the butchering, executions, enslavement, rape, kidnapping, and sale of non-Muslims and Muslims that opposed ISIS. He couldn't fit in a police car, so they carried him in a pickup truck. Actually in the West, or is it in Iraq? I didn't detail that. This looks like, I guess that could be Iraq. I know that they have similar outfits.
Jabba the Hutt there.
Amazing, huh? These are the guys that I thought that they'd be more strict than that, right?
I didn't know they got that fat there. You know, wow.
Yeah, lots
eating
of
the chicken McNuggets, huh?
Lots of baklava. Well, chicken McNuggets. That was a pun intended. All right. Okay. Here's the Mashable piece here. Anti manspreading chair.
It's brilliant.
Brilliant, they say.
Yeah, for guys with no balls or a shrunken peepee from all the estrogen mimickers.
Let's check it out. And again, think about this too. Supposed to be. Now it's a we need to be equal, blah blah blah. But now it's a gender based chair. That's a resin here. Anyway, let's look at it.
Oh, and the music.
Always good music.
And this girl dresses like a teenage boy.
This chair will finally teach men how to sit. I'm just reading for the podcast audience too.
You behave,
without
man.
Intruding on someone else's space. The project called A Solution for Man Spreading.
So now the girl spreading. It's woman spreading.
Was conceived by artist designer Layla Laurier, who created two chairs to combat the phenomenon.
Oh my God. And they're hideous and ugly.
One of the chairs forces men to sit with their knees together.
And squash their balls, right? Isn't that why you have to open up your legs?
While the other seat encourages women. Sorry, Lana, I just want to read it for the podcast audience. To take up more space.
Okay, so woman could be like spread eagle, open vag, but the guy's got to just squeeze it together, right?
The designer does not suggest that the chair will forever face manspreading. Exactly. I got to neuter
them
eventually.
Look at that guy. He looks neutered all the way.
But it's a way to keep the conversation going about a problem that many women face daily.
And it's always some white guy too that they show, by the way. You notice are black guys gonna sit in this chair?
So
doubt it.
Let's not talk about like this rape of these girls here, but let's talk about white guys sitting with their legs open.
You're taking up too much space on the subway.
Massive problem.
How dare you like not squash your genitals?
Incredible problem.
Wow. And then look at how the girl is dressed in this, like a teenage boy sitting all unladylike with her legs. That's all it is. And he's like, sitting there like this, some little girl, like an emasculated man.
But they're beautiful chairs, by the way, too, I have to say.
Look like a punishment chair, like a torture device or something.
Look at the back seat there as well. What do you call it? The back. What the hell is it called again in English? The back,
oh
I think you
gosh.
Call it.
Gosh. It's a way to keep the conversation going.
Yeah, you got to keep the conversation going because it's a massive problem.
Women face like literally no women are complaining about this except for a few ugly feminists, you know, that hate men. Like, seriously, my girlfriends and I sit around and we talk about the problem of like manspreading.
But not the rape. But not the rape of girls.
They're such liars.
And women.
Yeah, exactly.
British designer and artist.
This is the problem.
Layla Laurier. Created an anti-manspreading chair that forces men to respect other people's personal space by sitting together with their legs closed. But the woman who's sitting in that chair,
she's quite big, right?
Is she now respecting other people's space?
Yeah, exactly. She's
by doing
taking
some
out
spread eagle move here.
No, it's about them taking more and men taking less. Just the total reverse.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. When men are always the ones. Here, would you like to sit here? And they're usually standing anyway on the subway, right? Am I right? Yes.
So these are the big problems, ladies and gentlemen, that we have to tackle. Well, some sad news. Christopher Tolkien, son of J.R.R. Tolkien, has died. Mm. He died, Thursday? This was yesterday, actually, the announcement of this. Yeah, Thursday. He edited, of course, much of his father's posthumous work, including the The Silmarillion. He has died at the age of 95. Now, there's a lot of interesting things going on here, too, by the way, with the Lord of the Rings universe, if you will. Immediately, of course, there has been people that have moved in on this territory, and they will, of course, want to try to destroy what Tolkien has created here, the magnificent stories that he's brought to us.
Very European, right?
You know, through the Lord of the Ring, but... I did like The Hobbit too, and you know, I know a lot of people didn't like the movie, but I thought it was okay. It was getting cheesier and cheesier, obviously, towards the end and stuff, but it was still somewhat of a vibe in there.
Better
than
everything else.
Yeah, I liked it, but I mean, nothing beats the Lord of the Rings, right?
And here it is.
There's a follow-up show now, an Amazon series, right?
I won't be seeing any of that.
On Fire and Kindle, and they burn everything at Amazon.
The Lord of the Rings. Some of these guys look like they belong in Antifa. I mean, look at their symmetry there.
The Lord of the Rings has found its fellowship. Now, it should be clarified, and I believe that I'm correct here. And excuse me if I am misinformed, and chat, correct me if I am misinformed. But I believe that the universe, the Tolkien universe, or whatever you want to call it, Lord of the Rings universe, there had been a restriction to a very, it was a long timeline, but in terms of storytelling, a smaller portion, which is not... It cannot affect or change like the already established universe, right? Because obviously they would love to change something like they do with like, you know, Marvel Comics or whatever has been established. They just go in and just completely rewrite it like Ghostbusters or, you know, whatever, right? There was a couple of articles about this too. This is from earlier this year about Tolkien's estate, which they've been very vehement about, like, you can't do certain things, you can't change this stuff, you can't just go back and like edit however you want.
They're putting more orcs in there though, by the looks of it.
Yeah, exactly. But Vice report on this, and of course in a negative kind of connotation too, that they have been brutally strict with their rules about Amazon's Lord of the Rings series, and I think it's going to extend outside of like the main already, you know, depicted Lord of the Rings storytelling as far as I know. And they've been given like another timeline where they can like kind of have maybe not free reign, but they can do certain other things, right? But I mean, expect them to butcher.
Oh, of course,
this, utterly, completely revert. You know, the diversity is already in there. It's not like,
and it's all contrived all the time.
Yeah,
too. I mean, they do it just for the sake of it has to be diverse. Not that it fits with the story. Not that it's appropriate. Not that it makes it better. Just because we need more color.
Yeah. And you remember Whoopi Goldberg when Lord of the Rings were winning all the Oscars? Oh my God, this is too white. And it's like,
it's a fairy tale?
Strictly like European stories, right? That were told. I mean, there is a mythological background.
Say that about
background.
Some African mythology. Wakanda needed more white people in there. Need more diversity in there.
Yeah. Come
I mean, on, it was way too Wakanda in.
Tolkien, he studied ancient Finnish mythological works, the Kalevala, I believe. He studied the Norse sagas. There's a very interesting little thing called the Red Book, which some people speculate is kind of the borderline between history and myth. Some people say there's some things in there which is real oral accounts from way back. Some people say it's just all fiction or whatever. We don't know, but he certainly had access to a lot of interesting things, right? So he's retelling of previous ages, right? What does that actually mean, right? The age of man is over. That's one of the storylines and the plots, of course, in the Lord of the Rings and stuff like that. Very good lessons in there about what's happening to the West right now and stuff like that. Yeah, it's a lot of analogies and stuff. So, of course, they want to get their claws on this thing, destroy it, ruin it, put diversity in there, do all these cheesy things. And I'm not going to look at it like the Star Wars shit that they've spewed out here the last couple of years. Sacrilege.
It's about taking everything we enjoy and just crapping all over it.
And again, the lefty outlets like Vice. Oh my God, they've just been brutally strict with the rules to Tolkien estate.
Would they say that with about any other people's fairy tales or favorite authors or recreations? I mean, come on.
Yeah. We know. The streamer will have to make sure every single detail, meaning Amazon there, of the upcoming show is Tolkien. I'll be like, what do you mean? They're just going to hand over the story to Amazon to do what they please with? What are you saying?
Yeah, I'm sure they'll do justice.
Yeah. Turns out the massive buyout still comes with some strings attached because J.R.R. Tolkien estate has some very specific rules about what can and cannot happen in the show, slash film reports. Let's see if they had that. Like, I saw this, I saw it in a comment, like a chart, like of the timeline of like what piece that Amazon had been like allocated essentially. And it was like between a lot of big like things which they couldn't touch. So, you know, we'll see what happens, but you know, it's going to end bad.
It's going to be garbage.
Yep. All right. Well,
the Silners, yeah.
Cancel culture continues.
Lost his fourth bank account. I know Brittany was fuming about it too, and I was saying, I know how it feels We know how it feels being banned by banks and payment institutions, banking institutions. This is crazy. Of course, this is in Austria, which is supposed to be what the conservatives in power, Sebastian Kurz. He's a coward Zionist conservative shill who does nothing. In fact, he's even now on board with stopping so-called hate speech online, I saw. But yeah, this is awful. His fourth account. And what has Martin done? What has he done?
Well,
he hasn't
broken
any laws.
You know, they just call him white nationalists, neo-Nazis, crazy, violent extremists, and they get away with it.
Oh, my God, right? A nationalist who's white in Europe. Oh, my God, the horror.
They lie. The mainstream establishment, the progressive globalists, the anti-whites. Let's keep it simple. The anti-white pro-globalist factions, they lie in just almost everything that they spew out, especially about their opposition, of course. It's lies, it's exaggerations, it's misquotations, misconstrued data, pieced together quotes and opinions from other people, and they build this profile on these people
trying to justifies treat us like we're terrorists,
kicking them off.
You
know? Again, this is on par with like ISIS people, this shit.
Remember? And then they always use the, he got a donation from the affiliated with the guy, the New Zealand shooter.
I'm sure that was totally organic and not a setup.
Exactly.
Like whatsoever. I mean, it might have been genuine, but whatever. Like,
yeah, he got some donation. Didn't know the guy. Didn't know anyone could send any organization money as a donation. Now he's in trouble for it. And I'm sure that's probably one of the big reasons why.
Or Will and Good, he said, just start your own financial institution. Yeah. And then, you know, you start your own internet, your own electric company.
And they come after that.
You know, you build your own planet. Like,
it's ours now.
We got to nuke that planet because, you know, white man bad.
My question was too, you know, whenever people say, how do you start banks? Well, how did you start banks in anti-Semitic societies?
It's very fascinating. I remember the story, and it's true in many other European countries as well. I just heard the story of the was it the Wallenberg family? No, the Aschberg family, actually. It was the Aschberg family because he had set up a bank called Red Bank, or Röd Bank, which, of course, one of the sponsors to the Bolshevik Revolution, by the way. Aschberg family, very prominent, far left, just the guy who set up Red Bank. He has a grandson, I believe it is, he is now, Robert Aschberg. This is maniac, like total just nutcase Antifa supporter who goes around literally and like, you know, knocking on people's doors, which have commented the wrong opinions online to expose them and hang them out in national media in Sweden and stuff like that. These are psychotic, like crazy people, the Aschberg family. But anyway, they told the story that he marched into Stockholm and just set up a bank because it was so anti-Semitic that it was the only thing he could do. And it was like, wait a minute, like, what? You're saying like the king granted him, you know, or whoever, the authorities. Yeah. And you hear this in multiple things. I think it's the same with the Rothschild banking family.
Yeah.
Remember that clip was
all there was nothing else Warrior? We could do but become bankers.
Yeah, like, it was like the Rothschild conspiracies
are wrong.
Become
a banker and start a bank if you don't have the whole system, you know, in on it with you and supporting you. I mean, I would like eventually people on our side to start a credit union, which is good. America has a lot of those. It's still nonprofit, but then it comes down to Visa and MasterCard, right? They'll be like, oh, well, we're not going to do business with this credit union because all these and these people are there.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah, something's got to change. I saw that the Bitcoin account had retweeted Selner's tweet and said, hey, there's no censorship using Bitcoin. I'm like, yeah, but there is using Coinbase.
There's certain crypto exchanges and stuff, yeah, and on or off ramps and stuff. They will censor, too. It's incredible. But yeah, what can you say? This is the new times we live in. It's absolutely crazy. I guess, actually, we can do this. Before we play that video, I guess it was a little wrong in the order there. Similar things happened to Stefan Molyneux, who had his entire email database lost. He was using MailChimp.
Sounds a little racist to me.
And Library, which is a good service, which I told you about earlier in the show, says here, one tweet from the thin-skinned thought police is all it took for Stefan Molyneux to lose his entire email database. We may not agree with Stefan, but we're damn proud to make the technology where this could never happen, which, of course, one of the reasons why you want to get on a decentralized platform, both like DLive, but also like Library, right? And BitChute has that to a certain extent as well.
And you know those scoundrels over at MailChimp, that database is going to be sent to some far-left groups. You know it, because they don't care about privacy regulations. They share all this info with each other.
So this is the activist here, Miss Noodles, or Nan Doodles. Who says, speaking of which, she's obviously been on some kind of rampage thread here about complaining and whining on someone she doesn't like or disagrees with politically. Hey, MailChimp, MailChimp at MailChimp Abuse. Did you know you have a white power national? How about that? A white power or power white nationalist? Is that the wrong order? What does she mean there? Did you know you power white nationalists? Like, Stefan Molyneux's email. Okay, I get it. You power, like you're
powering
supplying
white power.
I thought you meant white power nationalists. It's funny nonetheless. You power white nationalists. Stefan Molyneux's email newsletter. Oh my God. Terminate everything right now. Molyneux promotes eugenics, race science, and men's rights. Putting
that
in quotes,
mom that's
like it's
Jewish,
not real.
By the way. Yeah.
Oh, good. But what a coincidence. Men's rights activism. Can you look into this, please? Right. So someone did the timing on this, right? They
one girl does it, and boom, it's gone.
And supposedly, depending on what time zone she is in, but they suggested here that MailChimp, of course, replied.
Oh yes, ma'am.
Not
of
too
course.
Many hours later, but probably enough for them to essentially come into the office and sit down and start looking at, I guess, their Twitter account and complaints and stuff, and then just saying, let's shut him down, obviously.
Thanks for bringing to our attention. We've terminated this account.
Thank you. Thank you for bringing this to our attention. We've terminated this account. Oh, good.
They don't know
anything
about him. They don't know any of his material. They haven't looked at anything. It's just like with me and Braintree, right? The exact same thing. Oh, this T-shirt, they have to go back. This was flagged for being inappropriate.
There's no... We've been on and on about this, but you guys have to understand the... It doesn't end with email lists, okay? Like, it's going...
It ends with lists where they want to take you out.
That too, exactly, absolutely. No, it does. This has no end in sight. If some of these companies don't stand, we say, well, you could choose another company. And sure, you might for a while, but eventually they'll cave too, and they'll cave. And, you know, there's no recourse. There's no investigation. There's no internal review process. There's no approaching the person that has the account. Hey, we have, and even that would be ridiculous, but at least approach them and ask them, hey, so these accusations about you has come in. Can we discuss about that? Can we get a response to them? Can we talk with you? What do you really believe? Is this true? No, nothing.
And then some little baker up in Washington and some tiny bakery has to bake this cake for this couple, right? It's just like...
It's just so disgusting, right? It's so disgusting.
Yeah, it is. So
she's behind some sleeping giants, which essentially spend all their time whining and complaining and snitching and being a hall monitor on everyone else, depending on what they do online or what they talk about or subjects that they don't agree with and stuff like that, right?
No one likes a narc. No one liked that kid in school.
It's just amazing, you know? Yeah.
Still don't.
All right. I'll cover a couple of more things here, guys, and then we'll round up here in just a little bit. We're running a bit late here, too, but check this out. I thought that this was kind of funny here. I know a lot of people have complaints on Putin and who knows where he really stands on issues and stuff. And is he genuine? Is he playing, you know, politics and who controls him and stuff like that? But regardless, interesting thing here. Hey, they have post now pulling up the text subtitled, YouTube subtitled for this, too, because it's not subtitled by Russia Insight who uploaded the clip. Constitutional changes will ban Russians with dual citizenship and foreign residence from power. Oh, pretty interesting, you say. What does this mean?
What's the biggest group in Russia that's dual citizens?
Now, he even mentioned, of course, the oligarchs, but, you know, directly here. I guess we can just listen to it and see what it says here. And I guess I'll read it for the podcast audience, too, by the way. You guys are subscribed to that because it's just in Russian. So here we go. A bit lower here. So first, Russia can be and can remain Russia only as a sovereign state. Our nation's sovereignty must be unconditional. I'll turn this up a little bit. We have done a great deal to achieve this. We restored our state's unity. We have overcome the situation where certain powers in the government were essentially usurped by oligarch clans.
Yeah.
Right?
They don't seem happy, that crowd.
Russia has returned to international politics as a country whose opinions cannot be ignored. We created powerful reserves which multiplies our country's stability and capabilities with respect to citizens, social rights, and the national economy from any attempts of foreign pressure. Interesting. Let me skip forward a little bit because the next interesting part is about a minute or later or so. Let me pull up my notes for that here. Yeah, about around 3:52. Let me go after that. He mentioned this here. Yeah, here it is. Let me see here. Yeah, secondly, I suggest formalizing at the constitutional level the obligatory requirements for those who hold positions of critical significance for national security and sovereignty.
You can have foreign agents.
Next level. Next. More precisely, the heads of the constituent entities, member of the Federal Council, State Duma, deputies, the prime ministers, and his, her deputies, federal ministers, heads of federal agencies, and judges.
Jeez,
yeah, I know. It's political talk. Continuing.
Yeah, we got it.
Should have no foreign citizenship or residence permit or any other document that allows them to live permanently in a foreign state.
Yeah, makes sense.
Boom.
Makes state. Makes sense, right?
Makes states.
Makes states. I mean... Obviously, you don't want foreign agents and dual citizens in your government. Otherwise, you get Americans, like America's government, right? Our foreign policy is completely hijacked by dual citizens. Like,
I mean,
this is what happens.
One of the early processes, and he went through that in the speech too, which was kind of interesting about like the early stages of after the collapse of the Soviet Union and kind of the constitution that was formed at that kind of chaos, in that chaos really. Purportedly, that's why he wants to do some of these updates to it, because it was like not included, or certain things that wasn't there, or whatever. But you know, you had people like Berezovsky, for example, who essentially were jet setting between Moscow and Tel Aviv until he was actually physically booted out from Russia, and then it was jet setting between London and Tel Aviv, and of course worked vehemently with the Goldfarb and some of these other forces to create color revolutions in the satellite states to Russia, like in Ukraine, like in Georgia, like some of these other countries right around there. So they have a good incentive, shall we say, for this happen. I imagine America doing something like that, something like this, because we know what brands this would hit the hardest,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly, we know if you exactly will. Who that would be.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, they'd be crying anti-Semitism so fast.
Yep. Pretty incredible, huh? Pretty incredible. All right. Well, we had a couple of more, but I guess we can wait with those, huh? We can wait, cover those, and we can worry. Any one of those
you want to take? What was this? I just happened to see. Man requests trial by combat with Japanese swords settle custody battle with ex-wife. Ha ha. Hey, it's a cultural difference. I like it. It's cool. Respect it. Feminists should really get behind this, though, because this is equality realized to the fullest. I would like to see this battle take place.
Yeah.
It's hilarious. It's like one of their... it's not kung fu, right? What is it? One of their fighting movies. What form of fighting they have in Japan again?
Well, samurai, I guess.
Samurai,
or ninjas.
You know, they have all these movies all the
Halloween
time.
Outfit.
Exactly. With these female ninjas, right? Doing all these moves. So now we get to see if it's real.
Yeah.
In real life.
Very strange. Now,
I doubt
this
that's going to be approved, though.
A Kansas man.
Oh, a Kansas
man.
Yep,
has asked an Iowa court to grant his motion for trial by combat so he can meet his ex-wife and her attorney on the field of battle, where he will render their souls from their corporal bodies. It's like, nice. Well, you know, in Sweden we call it holmgång. You know what holmgång is? I think, I suspect some people out there will know what holmgång is.
Some Swedish listeners.
It's an old, kind of law of the old Germanic legal system, and it was the satisfaction of like facing your accuser on the battlefield, essentially, right? I mean, if they spread lies about you
could
like.
It's like quick draw, right?
Do you think people were, if they were lying, do you think people were willing to lie about you because they could risk that it potentially could risk their life?
Exactly.
Ironically, it was actually a very, very good system, because people would never, like, if you lied about someone or make a claim about someone else, they had the right to legally challenge you on the battlefield.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like. There are some of these old, I mean, again, I sure
like
I get it.
Man to man, like, settling the score.
No, it's the law, you know, the law, whatever. But, you know, if you've seen people like that, like, freak out in court. Like, remember the guy who, the Olympic guy, I forget what he was called. He had sexually abused and raped these girls in court. And he was sitting there, and the father could
just
not contain himself anymore.
And he just like. And he got tackled. Like,
of course, he
that
was taken
guy
out.
Is the just one. The father wanting to go after this criminal that hurt his child.
It's crazy.
Like
and
in the old days,
that
is how they.
Satisfaction,
yeah,
you know
in the old
mean?
Days, that's in how they settled the score. A man could be a man and take care of business. You know, really protect his family. And guess what? There's less criminals in the town.
Yeah,
they can chase him out. Speaking of that too, there was one more I saw. 45-year-old man caught with child porn says he identified as an 8-year-old girl. And I'm like, well, of course, this was the natural progression to this insanity. Of course someone was going to say that at some point.
Yeah.
And here it is. Yeah. What did you think was going to happen?
Yep. It's unbelievable, you know, unbelievable.
Some freaks. Total freaks, man.
As I'm backtracking
just
here.
Just acting like this insanity and mental illness is totally normal.
Totally normal. You know? Where's this going to end, right? They're just going to make fun of all of us and like try to get away from these situations. Well, I'm really this.
He looks like a pedophile too, I guess. No, yeah. He really looks the part.
A face that... a thousand messages are blasted out with the face.
Either
like
eyes too far or too close, you know.
All right, couple of more super chats here, guys. Der Sherusker writes and says, I was in Helsingborg and Göteborg, Gothenburg, in July 2019. It really hurts your eyes and makes you angry to see some things there. Keep up the good work and keep on fighting. Oh yeah, it's really bad in some of those areas. You definitely, you got it. But, you know, interestingly, of course, there's a lot of white flight. A lot of, I guess one of the stories we didn't have time to cover.
People we'll leaving do that. New York?
Yeah.
More people leaving
we'll,
than coming?
We'll do well, that in Weekend Warrior. Like white flight happened in so many different areas. They're leaving
they'll take
New
care
York,
of it
California,
with immigration,
Illinois. You know? Yeah, they are, ironically, of course. But I'm just talking about that, this split, right? The self-segregation that occurs, and that's, of course, why they impose measures
they
to forcefully
that.
Integrate yeah. and stuff like that, right? Yeah. But anyway, thank you, that is Schroesker. Double Dog, another donation, $10, says, how many words into the super chat will Henrik get before Lana starts responding over him? Just kidding. Lana, if you're still listening. No, I think we're doing pretty well, right?
It happens. Sometimes when you do these shows, you're like, you're going to talk over each other.
Oh, yeah.
That's what happens.
Someone said, too, it said, you're the only two guys I can listen to at the same time. You know, because of like, I guess the pitch or something. Like he said he could hear both Lana's and my voice over all that we talked over each other and like comprehend both of them. Right,
nice.
That's kind of funny.
See, it works.
You know, so I don't think we're doing too bad, guys. Anyway, thank you, Double Dog. Appreciate that. A couple of more here on D Live. I'm gonna open the chest today as well. There was a couple of things that came in the last show and I forgot to open. Open the chest. Catastrophe, guys. So
can you take
should
this
be a little bit more.
Pedophile's face off the screen?
Really? I thought you'd enjoy looking at that.
No?
No?
I just
should we do just full screen while we read the super chats
I
on
do
that?
Plan on eating after this. So. Exactly.
Nice.
I'm an 8-year-old girl, he says.
41 BMC donated a diamond over on DLive. He says, thank you, Red Ice. Well, thank you. Appreciate that. Chad Crisp Slacks donates a diamond, says India's major defense trading partner is Israel, FML.
Oh.
Yes, I've heard that too.
Harsh it, you better get on that.
Yeah, I have heard that too. We know, I don't want to be long-winded here, but Belt and Road Initiative, they're working with China and India and all these up-and-coming nations,
yeah.
of course, to benefit
Israel's
themselves.
Getting
yeah, they're getting
there.
Their tentacles everywhere,
look
right?
Out.
Obviously, yeah. Anyway, thank you, Chad. Rafael sends a diamond. Pakistani is the top 10 countries in rape. I do believe that that's true. I know Afghanistan is the same too. I have a big problem with young boys. They have these shows where they're dancing
huh?
and stuff like that.
Yeah,
little
it seems
boys
like amongst the Muslims, there is a lot of closet homos.
Yeah, and then unfortunately, due to kind of the, I guess, trauma of the brain works, most people end up passing that on, that trauma. They go on and rape themselves because they have dysfunctions, right?
A lot of inbreds too, right? So maybe that's
yeah,
something
it's true.
To do with
a
it.
Danish study on that yeah. showed that there were massive inbreeding within that particular group, the Islamic faction, and that's, of course, leading to a lot of lower IQ, a lot of health problems and issues and stuff. And it's like they're very clan-based and not at all like tribes used to be in Europe or anything like that. I'm talking they're like small like factions. They're just that interbreed to hold power and stuff like that. You know?
And then, of course, there's the religious aspect, right? Mm-hmm. Like, oh... You know, you have to be married, but then having a little boy, that's okay.
Kraut says, will there be a call-in show anytime soon again?
Just thinking about that.
Yeah,
talking
I think
about
so.
That.
Maybe,
let's
week
plan
or something.
That.
Yeah, we'll get that in the schedule for sure, Kraut. We appreciate that. It was great to hear from you guys as well. So that was fun. So we'll definitely do that. Shroon sent a diamond fix, or I guess F-U-C-K, the chair whacks my balls. Yeah, exactly. That's right. Oh, we should talk about the, speaking of waxing my balls, Yanni, we'll cover that in Weekend Warrior, by the way,
crazy
the update
tranny
there.
In Canada?
Yeah, she was actually taken to court now after attacking the last guy.
What is this?
Well, you have to, otherwise you get banned and kicked off of banks.
It's already happened, my dear.
Well, we don't want to have five more, right? Oh, Jesus. Yeah, I mean... That person is mentally insane, right?
Yeah.
Totally unstable. And I guess the person just lost it last time, I guess, and started beating the reporter. It was a rebel reporter, I guess, right?
Yeah, he likes to follow that person.
The
around.
Rebel. It's. I mean, it's okay that they do
like
it. Rebel.
Like they're picking on a tranny.
But it's a very. Like, I agree, and it's good. It needs to be exposed, but it's like it's a wow. What an easy target. Right? Yeah. You're not questioning like the power structure like here, but
a mentally
you know.
Ill guy in a dress. Yeah. Like not really a hard target.
Yeah. Oh, look at that photo. Do you like that better?
Ugh.
I've always been a 8-year-old girl, even and even in my drawings and fantasies.
Ooh, I don't want to hear about your fantasies.
I'm always
buddy.
An 8-year-old girl.
He's
don't
like,
clip
this
that
is what I have to say to get away with it.
Yeah.
So messed up.
Kraut says again, Sense of Diamond says, Mordor is because of climate change. That's right. They had to flee, you know. Do you see that red skyline, you know, of the
that's
mountain?
Right.
That's just the wildfires of climate change behind there. So they had to flee into Middle Earth. Or the Shire, I guess. Okay. Kraut says another diamond says, orcs are climate refugees. Absolutely. That's right. Roy Danton, no message. A diamond, though. Thank you. Shroon sends a diamond, badly need free bank. Yeah, exactly. When? Free bank when?
There was one, was it, do you guys remember Washington Mutual? That was like before the banking crash they went down. I remember they had free checking, made me think of that back then, and that was like a big deal. Now they all charge money to have checking accounts even. Crazy.
Really? Well, I mean, they do when they couldn't do floating, they find other ways of kind of reaching you, right? With
these banks that get bailed out and then they ban taxpayers while they get taxpayer money. It's absolutely disgusting.
Yeah.
There's nothing and there's nothing you can do about it.
Yep. Kraut says again, since another diamond. Thank you. A lot of diamonds from Kraut today. I appreciate that. He says, no men's rights without right men. Yeah, that's right. Ron Shackleton sent a diamond. Why are there no Bolshevik hunters? Yeah, it's a good question. I don't know if you're thinking of... Yeah, I mean, we know what there was some show like Nazi hunters or something. Troll hunters was the... Robert Ashberg, the guy I talked about before, he had a show called Troll Hunters where he goes around and confronts trolls. You know, they're like the poster for the promo for the show. He's like standing with a baseball bat. Like, this guy's like totally just open Antifa supporter, this guy.
No problem.
He's like 50 years old, 60 or something. He might be even more now. Might be 70, for Christ's sake. But anyway, I don't know. He looks like he's 80. Anyway, thank you, Ron, for that. A couple of more here to clear off before we wrap up, guys. Kraut sent another diamond. Says, based Daddy Putin. That's right. Shroon sent a diamond. Thanks for the show, guys. Thank you so much, Shroon. Chad Crisp Slacks says, Henrik, regarding home makeover, is IKEA paused? Red pill us.
I don't like IKEA.
Now, IKEA is an interesting backstory because I remember Ivar Kamprad.
Wasn't he accused of being a Nazi or Nazi sympathizers?
He was accused of being a Nazi.
Yeah.
Of course, it's just because you have a Scandinavian brand. It's getting mildly popular.
Of course,
you can't have that. You got to accuse him of Nazism. I think the case was fairly frivolous, to be honest. But yes, at some point, I think he had sympathies for nationalist movements. And of course, Sweden.
He just didn't want to kill a bunch of Germans.
Sweden were democratic socialists at that point too.
Yeah.
You know, were even national socialists in a way.
Exactly.
You could say. I mean, they were socialist inclined, but they had
socialist and nationalist
inclined as well. But yeah, you know, I don't. I mean, I don't know what happens to clarify that, but I mean, no, I hate IKEA.
I've never used that.
We
it.
Never. I always
it's
hated the style.
Dinky.
Yeah, it's dinky.
It's disposable, kind of cheap.
It's new modern style. I just don't like it. There's a lot of much better furniture comes from.
I always think if I'm going to buy something, I want it to be built to last, something that I can have for a long time that looks timeless, classic.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Something you can pass down.
Yeah, that's correct.
Something that's really difficult to move, though.
Yeah. Jeez. Yeah. Well, exactly. It gets very heavy, of course. It's indicative of where we go. Everything is lightweight. It's disposable,
mobile.
Move a
lot, right.
That's where it is, right? That's why I mean, IKEA was. I grant them there. It was a good idea because people could put it at home, put it together at home. They could less to move. You could pack it up. You know, I get it, but it's like I still like the style of it.
Yeah.
Kraut sends another diamond. Say, have a great weekend, y'all.
Thanks, Kraut.
Thank you so much, Kiz Cardassian. Thank you for your work. Thank you, Kiz. Appreciate that. Brad Grimba sends a Ninja Genie over on DLive too. Have a young Muslim woman driving a Christmas sleigh because diversity is our strength. Yeah, I'm sure they've, I think it was a Swedish television show. They have always had these Christmas hosts and stuff. And they've been like super contrived, having like Muslims
a
in there.
Hijab
and,
hosting.
Yeah, it's like sitting
Christmas.
In and telling Swedes about, like, about racism on Yule or Christmas. It's amazing. Thank you, Brad, for the Ninja Guinea. Appreciate that. Mr. Wright, a diamond, actually sends 1, 2, 3 in a row. Thank you. Roy Danton, a diamond. And then another diamond from Mr. Wright. And a Ninja Guinea from Mr. Wright as well. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Very generous. Jay Fox, a diamond. No message. Kraut, another diamond. Love here, Eric Henrik. Roll the R. Take my money. Well, thank you. Appreciate that, sir. There is actually a rolling of the R's in Swedish,
a
but
little
it's a little.
Bit. Yeah, I don't
it's
like
a little
too much of that.
Lighter. It's not like.
Too gypsy-ish.
After not like a while. Spanish or anything like that. It's like. And then if you get into the Göteborg accent, of course, you
that's like
a completely
like the,
different thing.
The equivalent of like a thick, the shipyards, like the Boston worker
yeah, so the
accent.
Worker, yeah, so
that's how I would compare the Gothenburg accent in Sweden.
Yeah,
and Stockholm is like upper class Manhattan.
And yeah, exactly. Stockholm is more, so, excuse me, but it's a little bit more faggy, right?
I mean, it is just, easier for me to understand, though.
It's like
when you lay
English.
It on, sometimes you lay it on purpose when you say certain
yeah,
words in Swedish.
Be,
and I'm like,
it could be fun.
Say it the Stockholm way, and then I can understand.
It's you know, these things are disappearing, you know, like distinct dialect. I mean, it's still there, but they're trying to weed that out of the equation, you know. And then with immigration, they change, you get all these weird spins on it. It's like our culture, our
immigrant
heritage, our
Swedish.
Things are distinct. Things that separate us, even internally in the nations, are being slowly eroded.
Yeah, I mean,
it's,
we
it's
wanted
horrific.
We tribalism was cool. We had different tribes in Europe and Sweden, and that was very diverse. Now it's like we don't even have that anymore.
Yeah, return to traditionalism, preserve the things we have, ladies and gentlemen. That's what we're asking for here.
Two things we should tell people: be careful if you're going to Richmond on Monday.
Yeah, but of course
we won't
cover,
be there.
We'll cover the updates. There's a few important updates that we'll cover. On Sunday, the day before, on our Weekend Warrior show. Check that out at redicemembers.com. We'll cover some of the latest there about Richmond, of course. But anyway, if you're not subscribed over there, definitely check it out. If you can't, I understand. There's other ways you can support the show. You can spread the link. You can tell your friends. You can share the show with people. You can tell, you know, tell about other people what we're doing. We appreciate that. But if you do want to support us, beyond, of course, all you generous people out there that have donated super chats and all that kind of stuff, we really appreciate that. But a membership is really the best way. That way you get access to something that we do as well. We offer you something, a product. We do Weekend Warrior. We do the second hour of most of the shows, of course, that are 2 hours. Those are exclusive for members. We have other exclusive member content there as well. So definitely check that out.
And I'm working on a piece. I got attacked by a Arab News, a Saudi Arabia paper that just goes on and on and on and on. Some woman in a hijab was attacking me forever in this piece. It was hilarious. Anyway, I'm doing a response video on that because she lives in an ethno state while attacking me living in a European nation for being this horrible white supremacist. You know, if only we had an immigration policy like Saudi Arabia. Practically impossible to get in there unless you have Arab parents. Well, it is. Unless you have Arab parents.
It's fine for them, and they can do whatever they want, but they can just call you a racist for saying the very things that they actually have.
Yeah.
You proposing the things that they actually have is racism, but they can have it and get away with it and be total fine. They're like liberals for the West and then like staunch ethno-nationalism for their own country.
Well, it's this paper, I guess it only
These Wahhabis, Salafists,
it only has
crazy people.
Yeah, I mean, they're in bed with Israel and America. Saudis are just basically globalists. You know, there's another, you know, piece in the cog.
Yeah.
It's funny, they even put this warning. They did this clip of some of my videos, and I guess it played on some channel or something. And it was a talk I did in Sweden. I was talking about traditional women and how we're worried about the future of our children and stuff. And they put this warning before they play this clip. And I'm literally talking about, like, a peaceful future for, like, Swedish women and children. And it's like, warning.
Warning. Again, I mean, it's
crazy.
It's too create controversy surrounding very normal, decent,
obviously.
Rational, obvious things, right? Okay. All right. Anyway, guys, yeah, definitely check out Weekend Warrior. Great show. We do that on Sundays. Usually we do the prep on Saturdays. We have 128 of those episodes there, and not everything is like disposable news. There's some kind of more you know, original stuff or timeless things, I should say, covered in those as well. But yeah, it's a great show. So thank you, guys, everyone, for joining us today. There's something else I wanted to give out. If I'll let you go here. Actually, there's a couple more here. Let's do those real quick, and then we'll wrap up. We're running over here late, guys. Herevard says, Listen to Rupert Sheldrake, TEDx talk. I didn't know he did one of those. I understand you did interview him a while back.
Yeah, Morphic. What did he talk about?
Yes, I did, actually. I think was it once or I think it was only one time I had him on.
Why should we listen to the talk? Why should we listen to the talk?
I don't think the person says listen to it. He said listened to Rupert Sheldrake.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's some interesting things there. It can be kind of, you know, it's a little... I don't discount it. There's some interesting things of, like, you know, if you get into the deeper weeds philosophically of, like, we can all understand, like, how something grows, but we don't understand why, right? Is there something more, a blueprint, a back-end blueprint to how organic life forms develop in a certain way? Or, you know, you can do genetic experiments, for example, where you change things, you mutate things with genetic engineering, and then a couple of generations later, they've done it with fruit flies. They revert back to their normal state, kind of implying, as Rupert Sheldrake says, he calls it a morphic field. It's kind of, sure, it's some new agey kind of thing. But there's still some interesting basic ideas to that concept, that there's something that is like a driving back end, a blueprint, for the lack of a better term, that makes sure that organic life forms develop in a certain way. And, you know. But yeah, yes, I did. It's in the archives at redicemembers.com if you want to check it out. Definitely from the good old days. So yeah, check it out. Thank you, Harvard. Sends a diamond as well. He does again and says, "You guys, you do great interviews. For example, Giorgiani on Iran." Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate that. A lot of interviews in the archives. Many of them for free, of course. Many of them were on YouTube. They're not there anymore, censored. But all of them are on redicemembers.com. So check that out too, guys. Bill Skimir sends a, sorry if I mispronounce your name, a diamond. About to resub, get BAT token on the website. Yeah, BAT is a good way to support us too, by the way. We have a affiliate link down in the description, which is the way to get the Brave Browser basic attention token, is their cryptocurrency. When you watch stuff for block ads, and you can support creators on the, you know, through the web browser, essentially. Mm-hmm. Check it out. We have an affiliate link down below.
I use Brave.
It's very good. Excellent. Browser. I also saw one before we started here. I just want to quickly cover this, you guys, before we wrap up. Conrad K. sent a message on the Cash App, and he says, thoughts on how, it's a big issue, of course, but maybe you have some thoughts on it, Lana. Thoughts on how to break Germany's forced guilt.
Well, I think that's already been happening, just because they've been hammering and just doing it over the top already, guilting them and immigration. I think it's, I mean, there's a strong nationalist movement rising in Germany. So I think that that's already chipping through, really. I mean, it's going to be up to, the big part of it is now the future generations, right? The parents and how they raise their children and having children, right? Because I know a lot of Germans aren't having kids.
Yeah, I think they will, you know, I cannot say that, but like as things get, you know, worse and worse, these people are going to begin to like get awaken from their slumber in a way. They're going to be, you know, not scared into submission, but they're going to essentially be like, all right, we like, this is going south. We got to do something about this. Things
happened
are
in Germany before
too fast. Well, that's just it, right? And I don't know. I still have faith in our people. It's not over. Defeatism is our greatest enemy, essentially. I mean, again, it's like, yes, we can be in a very bad situation demographically. But again, if we're resulted down to a smaller core, if you will, of people that again starts to have, they have more conservative ideas, they start having larger families. Yes, you will have a dip, you'll have a dip, you'll have a dip. But eventually that's going to start going up again, because you have literally I mean, that's like... I don't say eugenics, but it's like a natural selection, essentially, of those that choose to reproduce and have more children and stuff. Yes, it might be really bad for us, but the nations have formed in the past. They have expanded, they have contracted. Some people have moved. And so, I mean, shit happens. The most important thing to me is not that we just preserve the actual border of territory that we have now, but it's that we preserve who we are, right? And that... We could literally be surrounded by millions of people, but if you and your children refuse to follow the globalist agenda, be broken to this propaganda,
then they don't have you.
And make a conscious choice and say, no, I want to continue and preserve my line and my people and the way we look and all that shit, right? That's all it takes, right?
Yep.
That's all it takes. They can do gulags, they can do all these things, but at the end of the day, you're not going
to
break us. It's impossible.
That's why we always say, we may never have a wall, but you can have walls within.
Yeah, right? That's the most important.
That's what matters.
All right, guys. thanks so much for joining us today. Really appreciate it. We'll wrap up right there. Keep fighting, guys. Never give up. Defeatism is our greatest enemy. Have a lot of beautiful white children, and we'll get through this. Thank you, guys. Take care. We'll see you soon. Weekend Warrior coming up next. Take care.
Bye.
Now, if you're new here, just want to alert you to Weekend Warrior, our exclusive show that we do at redicemembers.com each weekend. News roundup show. We talk about some of the current events, the most important stories. We have a good laugh as well. Laugh at some of the cultural Marxist absurdities in this postmodern age. Check it out if you haven't already. An exclusive show. People love it. They tune in each weekend. They don't miss a single show. It's well produced. There really isn't anything like it on the dissident right or the nationalist scene or the anti-globalist movement, whatever you want to call it. So thank you so much for watching. But again, if you want more, redicemembers.com, Weekend Warrior. Check it out.